Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast.
402, welcome in the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn and Mark Dukes. Are you sticking around, Mark? Mark's leaving. Mark's leaving the studio. Happy Easter. You and Scott, enjoy your weekend. And happy Easter to everybody out there in Eastern Iowa who's tuned in on 1600 AM. 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. 107.5 FM, the North Gym here in Cedar Rapids. Taking you up to the Pacers and the Celtics tonight on all three frequencies.
Your boys.
They were my boys like 30 years ago. Now I'm on the bandwagon when convenient. Lots of great stuff to get to today on the program. It is a Friday. That means a check-in with Jack Dahm, the Mount Mercy baseball coach, touching all the bases. We actually had to catch up with Jack earlier in the day because Mount Mercy is playing right now. They're taking on Clark at the Plaster Athletic Complex. It's senior day for the Mustangs. And Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com will be along with us as well inside the 6 o'clock hour. Fridays on the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented by Two Rivers Bank and Trust. You can find Two Rivers locations in Coralville or Iowa City. Find out more at tworivers.bank. Two Rivers Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Cubs trying to get to the 500 mark at Wrigley Field today as they open a series against the Arizona Diamondbacks. So far, so good. Kyle Hendricks dealing today for the Cubs, who were up 5-0 in the seventh inning. But it's the other Chicago team that people are talking about today, and one player in particular, Tim Anderson.
Yeah.
And this is not, it's about flipping something, but it's not the bat that he flipped. Tim Anderson suspended for one game by Major League Baseball for, wait for it, potty mouth.
Language.
Language. And language in particular that I am sure is going to excite angry old fan who doesn't like bat flips. Because if there's one thing that gets angry old fan who doesn't like bat flips riled up more than bat flips, it's bringing race into the equation. This is a banner. Alex, it's a banner day for the angry baseball fan because we got us a controversy.
Is this a controversy?
Is it? Well, it's sort of our poll question today at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. You can find Emil's on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. Alex took me to Emil's today for a birthday lunch. Thank you very much. Burger was so big, I'm still working on eating it and trying to figure out whether it was the actual hamburger or whether it was the impossible burger. I'm pretty sure it was the regular burger, but you never know. Tim Anderson, for those of you new to the controversy, this game feels like it was played a month ago. This was Wednesday?
I believe so. It was on Wednesday, yes.
Tim Anderson hits a home run against the Kansas City Royals. Brad Keller is the pitcher, and Anderson not really throws his bat. I mean, it's more not really flips his bat. It's more of a throw or a toss toward his own dugout. And there was some extenuating circumstances between Anderson and the Royals dating back to last season, according to reports. And Anderson apparently said something very specific to Brad Keller. And he used some strong language. Now, I've been around professional baseball before. I've heard these words used. And I'm not quite certain that Major League Baseball should be swimming in this particular pond, but they have decided to legislate, at least via a one-game suspension to Tim Anderson, certain language that can or cannot be used. And it's not so much one term. He used two of them.
Well, I think it was the one term that got him suspended, because if you remember, this was brought up a couple of years ago in the NFL, where at least they were looking at trying to do away with this term. And it's reached the college game where at least referees are supposed to throw the flag if they hear that word being used. They don't do that very often. It's not necessarily a rule that's very much enforced because, as you can imagine, strong language and pretty much any word in the book is fair game to a lot of college football players and college basketball players and hockey players. We go through this every once in a while. But, yeah, it seems like baseball is taking a stand and making sure that that word is not used.
The word that you are referring to is the N-word.
Correct.
And this, of course, excites angry old fan because the hot take is, imagine if Keller said it to Anderson.
Yes.
Would he get a one-game suspension?
No, it would be longer.
Of course it would be longer.
It'd be longer.
He may be, I don't know whether he would lose his job or not, but it would be more difficult for a team to roster him. Let's put it that way. So, is this something that baseball should even be worried about? 319-366-1600. You can let us know your thoughts on the Hertin & Stocker Jewelers text line. Hertin & Stocker, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for, you've heard me say it enough, you can fill in the blanks. This is like reading to my almost three-year-old son. I was doing that just about an hour ago when I dropped him off at home. He was trying to impress his grandma and grandpa. I would read the start of the sentence, and then he would finish because he has everything memorized over 70 years. 366-1600, once again, the number. We have a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. We're going to hook somebody up with that before 7 o'clock, and very excited about this. Ann in Solon is dropping by the station. She's not coming on the air, but she's going to drop by it's a pseudo-birthday gift for me. She picked up a bottle of Chad Greenway's Grey Duck Vodka yesterday and was attempting to give it to me as a birthday present, and I said, no, I can't do that. Ethically, I wouldn't feel comfortable with that. So there's a check waiting for her at the front desk. And now I'm faced with the check because I'm 39 years old and I'm an old man.
You couldn't Venmo?
I write checks. I get mad at various people who you get to use the N-word when other people don't get to use. That's my favorite argument.
Yeah.
Well,
exactly
the people that on the other side, they need to realize what they're arguing for. Are you arguing to be able to use that word? Because that is a hill I do not want to see anybody perish on. Now I face the dilemma with the Chad Greenway vodka bottle, which is signed. Ann was kind enough to post a photo of it on Twitter. Do I keep the bottle sealed as a collectible, or do I crack it open tonight and sample the contents, so to speak?
Well, I think you're going to need to sample the contents.
Is this self-serving? Am I being...
No.
I'm going to be...
No.
Got to walk a fine line. By the way, we made amends with the texter last night after the show was over.
Good.
We're all good. I think we just became best friends. I'm not quite sure. He just loves sports so much, he's dying to embrace us. And he did so by telling us that last night's show sucked. And so now we're best friends.
It takes a real friend to tell you that you're doing
exactly,
a terrible job.
Exactly.
We get enough people saying, "Oh, you're doing great. You're doing great," and just sort of you can tell in their eyes that they didn't really like the show. But it takes a real friend to tell you, "Yeah, that was awful."
It is. You can always tell when you meet somebody and they listen, whether they listen or whether they listen and like what they are listening to by their reaction. Oh. That's you?
Oh.
That's somebody who likes the show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I listen.
Yeah.
That's somebody who wants to tell you are awful at your job and you don't talk about their favorite team enough. I can tell 99 times out of 100. 366-1600.
Your body language.
I
got
to be honest. Look, something happened to me on the way to work today and it ran through the back of my mind. What if this person listens to the show? Luckily, I don't think that's the case. I got rear-ended coming to work today and at the worst possible time because it took me from walking in the door today, 45 minutes late to work, to, and of course, as I'm pulling into the parking lot, the boss is leaving to go to an early lunch. So she sees me pull in late. She thinks I'm just being a scofflaw. Meanwhile, now I got a good excuse. I got a valid excuse. My first thought was, oh God, I hope it's not someone who listens to the show. And it wasn't. I don't think this woman probably is familiar with sports talk radio, but a kind, wonderful, kind woman, and we've got everything straightened out today. So thank you to her insurance company, which is fitting the bill.
It's always nice.
Footing the bill. Oh, wait a minute. My brain might be jumbled here. Uh-oh. No, I'm fine.
You have a headache?
It was a very low impact.
Little tight now?
Luckily, I was the only person in the vehicle. Nobody was with me. It was at a low speed. There's some damage. It'll get taken care of. Nobody got hurt. And the only thing I need to worry about is getting yelled at for being late to work. And that's probably not going to happen. 413, we don't have anybody dying to call up, arguing about who gets to use the N-word and
no,
who doesn't.
Thank goodness. Okay. Please. I
don't know. I can try to stoke
this
that
conversation,
fire.
Please.
Let's well, let me check the text line. I bet somebody on the text line.
No, Mr. Cheeks, a.k.a. Ryan and
He's
Walford.
He's Ryan and Walford. He's not Mr. Cheeks.
Ryan and Walford says open more baseball cards today. All right, let's get this discussion going. That's
okay.
Fine.
No. But it took me about 2.5 hours last night to open all of the baseball cards, to sort them out in a numerical order, and then come up with the list of players that I am missing for. Because now I'm sort of pot committed, as a poker player would say. I got too many chips in the pot to walk away now. So I bought the box of cards. Now I've got to try to finish off the set. And it's probably going to cost me as much, if not more, money to finish the set. I had 28 cards shy of the 300 cards needed to complete the set. And there are some beautiful names on this list, including Daryl Irvine, who I think was a pitcher. When I'm not quite familiar with I think he pitched for the Red Sox, if I remember right. Dave Johnson, not Davey Johnson. Dave Johnson was a pitcher for the Orioles. And Mark Grace. I didn't get Mark Grace. I did not get Joe Girardi. And on the second-to-last card last night, I pulled Sammy Sosa.
I saw
that. In a White Sox uniform with tremendous Jerry Curl.
The Jerry Curl was fantastic. The hat to the side.
And the 1919 Chicago White Sox throwback uniform
on. And it was like sort of sitting funny on his head.
The old wool-style cap.
Yeah, it wasn't on his head. It was sitting on his head.
Well, I was going to I got a card of Dan Plesac, who's on the MLB network, and he was with the Milwaukee Brewers at the time, and I was going to tweet him a picture of the card and ask him whether or not the photo was taken at Old Comiskey Park in Chicago, because I thought the green seats and the yellow handrails looked like Old Comiskey. And then as I was going through the other packs, I realized that virtually every Milwaukee Brewer and every White Sox player must have been photographed on the exact same day. And Teddy Higuera, who was a pitcher for the Brewers, on his card, he's talking to a member of the White Sox, because you can see the throwback uniform. Actually, I had a Twitter follower last night who said they were at that game, the original throwback game at Old Comiskey back in 1990. This is back when throwback uniforms were novel. You didn't see them all that often. Nowadays, some teams, I think, wear their throwback uniforms more often than they actually wear their real uniforms, which should tell you something about the state of today's uniforms.
Well, see, I never understood that. Why don't they just wear the throwback uniforms as their normal uniforms then?
Well, look,
like the Rams.
Again, okay. as I said last night, nostalgia is a heck of a drug, and the Chargers have come out.
The Chargers,
they're wearing the powder blues full time this year.
Well, they should.
At home. Is it at home or is it every game? The Tops. They're going powder blue.
I think it's at home.
Just at home? It's a good look. It makes me think of Air Coryell and leading into Dan Fouts, although by the time I recall Dan Fouts, they were in the regular blue jerseys, he and Kellen Winslow and those great Chargers teams. And there you go. You turn 39 and you just sit here behind the microphone and reminisce about the good old days. 319-366-1600. So Who had the best day today? Did you get rear-ended coming to work today?
I did not.
Nope,
I've had a pretty good day.
The folks over at the Morning Scramble on Z102.9 on Mondays, they do a segment called Best Weekend, where they try to figure out who had the best. Maybe we could do the reverse of that. Who had the worst day? Or worse desire? Okay.
Well, the frustrating part was that you didn't get in the building for our company-wide Easter egg hunt.
I missed the Easter egg hunt. And this disappoints me greatly because I defied all the odds last year at the Easter egg hunt. Because there's candy in the Easter eggs, there's money in some of the eggs, and then occasionally in a very small handful, there are airplane bottles of alcohol.
See, there were more last year. This year, there were just a few.
And
we
so
scaled
last
back
year,
on the alcohol.
Yeah. Last year, I only collected, I believe, 5 eggs, but in one of the eggs was a dollar bill, and in 3 of the eggs were airplane bottles. I think there were 5 bottles of booze, and I got 3 of them.
See,
it's almost like I have some sort of built-in metal detector, except I ain't detecting metal. I can tell where the booze is.
I tried to do that this year, and I didn't come up with any, so I had to make a trade, and it was probably one of the worst trades that I've ever made. I traded an airplane bottle of whatever that was, some kind of Kahlua-type substance.
Oh, yeah, no, probably Malibu rum.
I got one of those from last year. For a $10 gift card to Starbucks. That's how much I wanted the airplane bottle. That was a bad trade.
I just don't like Starbucks that much. I was showing Scott in our... They're not a sponsor, are they?
No, okay. I made sure.
I was showing you, Nash, in the office. I was like, oh, yeah, no, I've still got the bottles in here from last year. Here's the Malibu rum one, and here's the Jim Beam one. And I pulled out the Jack Daniels one, and it was empty. And I went, oops. I just gotta put that back in there. I'm sure it was consumed off-site and then brought back into the building for recycling purposes.
Okay.
319-366-1600. Please be responsible. Recycle your airplane bottles of booze. And also, pay attention when driving and don't rear-end anybody.
So this is going to sound like a really stupid question.
I'm a really stupid guy. Go ahead.
Can you actually get airplane bottles through security at the airport? Do they allow those?
No.
So they're called airplane bottles, but you can't actually take them on an airplane.
I'm
just wondering. I get it because they have them on an airplane. Like they sell them to you. But the last time I flew, they made me dump out.
I tried to pound one last drink at the gate before getting on, and I'm scanning my ticket, and she's like, "Sir, you're going to have to dump that out." And I'm thinking, well, if I would have dumped it into like a reusable Tervis tumbler or something, I could have made the claim, well, it's just Diet Coke.
That's all it is.
But there you go.
So mystery solved.
Solving all the world. So we've gone everywhere. When you put two white guys in the studio and the topic of the day is using the N-word in Major League Baseball, this is what you get 15 minutes later. You get a conversation about airplane bottles of booze, getting rear-ended coming to work, and last night's festivities at home, opening the old baseball cards. 319-366-1600, the Hartin and Stocker Jewelers text line. And it's an uncomfortable subject, except with one group of people, and that's old angry fan. God, the guy who doesn't like bat flips, which kudos to whoever dug up the archival footage on Twitter earlier today and shared it of Mickey Mantle flipping his bat multiple times during the 50s and 60s.
I don't believe it. They never did that in the old days, Todd.
They never did that and never did that in the old days.
If they did that, they were going to get hit in the head.
Players never showed emotion. They were just robots, and they would do their job.
They respected the game.
Then they would go home, and they would drink all night long, and they would come back the next day, and they'd do it again. Man, I wish that everything old is new again.
It's as American as apple pie and hot dogs.
And All in the Family, which apparently is getting a reboot with Woody Harrelson playing the role of Archie Bunker. This is a bad idea from the word go, and I am grabbing my popcorn, and I am here for it. Because that particular program was able to air in the 70s, and I don't think you can do a whitewashed version of it in 2019, and if it's not like the original, then it's not worth watching. So I love Woody Harrelson, I love All in the Family, but this just has disaster written all over it. 319-366-1600 as we make our way towards 7 o'clock tonight. Kyle is going to join us on the other side of this break. He will have a big board update for you. We've got a lot of ground to cover today. Big, big series at Duane Banks Field for the Iowa baseball team. They're taking on first place Nebraska. Colonels are in town tonight, and the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders start the second round of the USHL playoffs, the Eastern Conference Finals tonight as they take on the Chicago Steel this weekend. Kyle's going to tell you all about it when we return after this.
The name of the business is called Archery's Veterans Barbecue and Catering Service. I grew up watching my mom in the kitchen as well as my grandfather. I absolutely loved to cook. I previously went to one bank and was told no. Hearing that word no, it's gut-wrenching sometimes. Then I walked into the Paco. The first thing they did was said, hey, look, let's open you a checking account. Where do you want to grow financially? First thing that I did state was, I want to own my own business. John wanted to know how serious I was. Give me your short-term and long-term goals. Once I did that, I came back to him with a game plan, and from that aspect, it just blossomed. Thank you for believing in me, not only as an individual, as a father, as a veteran, and as a human being.
Learn more about our impact at dupaco.com/impactful. Federally insured by NCUA Equal Housing Opportunity.
Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative is committed to providing electricity that's reliable, cost-effective, and sustainable. Did you know nearly 60% of their electricity comes from emission and carbon-free resources? That minimizes the impact on our natural environment, which is good for everybody. How does Linn County REC do this? With their generation mix. It's a diverse fuel mix of coal, nuclear, hydro, landfill gas generation, wind, solar, natural gas, and oil energy resources. When Linn County REC members switch on a light or the computer, they know they're using more sustainable and environmentally friendly power. And with such a variety of energy sources in the mix, it also means increased reliability across a broad spectrum of conditions, including severe weather here in Iowa. The generation mix is good stuff, and just another one of the benefits of membership with Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
Just like the Cyclones, the Kubota M-Series tractors have the power to get the job done. The participating Iowa Kubota dealers are proud sponsors of the Cyclones and invite you to stop by and test drive the full line of Kubota M-Series tractors. The Kubota M-Series are designed to provide farmers with a fuel-efficient, high-performing, and versatile tractor with excellent visibility, spacious, dependable, and up to 168 horsepower. The Kubota M-Series tractors have the power to tackle any job.
To experience the power of Kubota, visit CycloneKubotaDealers.com for a participating dealer near you.
Connecting with your family and friends is what La Cantina is all about. It's where you go anytime with your family and friends to gather around the table, crunching, talking, sipping, and laughing. If you're celebrating something big, reserve their party room. Or if you're planning an event of your own, add some sizzle with their delicious catering. Connect with your favorite people at La Cantina, in the fountains on Edgewood Road, in downtown Cedar Rapids, and in Marion.
Guys, don't miss Macy's Men's Semi-Annual Suiting Sale with 50 to 70% savings on the season's best new trends. Find the brands you love, the fit and style you want for every occasion. The savings are incredible, like 60% off designer suits and separates. Check out a great selection of spring sport coats for just $99.99. Take 55% off dress shirts, and designer dress pants are just $29.99. Macy's Men's Semi-Annual Suiting Sale is going on now. Savings on regular prices, exclusions apply.
The Celtics take games one and two at the Garden. Now the series shifts to Indianapolis, where the Pacers face a critical game three.
Tonight, starting at 7 o'clock on 1600 AM and 106.3 FM, KGYM.
426, welcome back. And someday we will upgrade the listeners to the premium subscription. We'll get $4.99 a month out of people, and we'll leave the feed open on the microphones, and you can hear some of the things that are said when we are off the air. By the way, Bob Brenly, Alex pointing out, Bob Brenly was singing the seventh inning stretch at Wrigley Field today.
Your guy.
I'm sure Bob Brenly has some real strong feelings about bat flips, particularly. So he was the guy, was it last week or earlier this week, where he referred to Manny Machado or Fernando Tatis as wearing a bike chain around their neck. There's dogs barking all across the country when people are watching Bob Brenly broadcast a game on the MLB Network. 366-1600, the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. We got to move on. We got Love It or Leave It coming up in just a few seconds. But first, courtesy of our friends at Alexander Lumber in Iowa City and Answers by Alexander, the showroom, in case you're looking at upgrading or remodeling your windows in your home. Answers by Alexander, their showroom on South Gilbert Street in Iowa City. Here's Kyle.
The Iowa baseball team is beginning a three-game series hosting 30th-ranked Big Ten leading Nebraska this evening. The Hawkeyes currently sit fourth in the conference standings, but have won three consecutive Big Ten series, so they could really help themselves tonight. First pitch is set for 6:05. Games 2 and 3 will be 2 o'clock and 1 o'clock Saturday and Sunday, and something to keep in mind is that tomorrow's game is Hawkeye Football Day, featuring pregame autographs and Nate Stanley throwing out the first pitch. And Iowa State receivers entered the transfer portal. Redshirt sophomore Josh Johnson, he caught only one pass as a redshirt freshman and is a member of a very crowded and competitive receiver room in Ames. The 5'11 Arkansas native once also held offers from Notre Dame, Oklahoma State, and Minnesota, among others. Around this time last year, it was the Iowa defensive staff traveling to observe and meet with Kirby Smart and Mel Tucker at Georgia. Today, Alex Halstead reported the Cyclone staff has been doing some of that as well. Matt Campbell told him he recently traveled to Clemson, and some Clemson coaches, including defensive coordinator Brent Venables, traveled to Ames. He also said several other staffers have gone to different places. With less than a week to the draft, NFL.com's Chad Reuter posted a 7-round mock draft today. He projects TJ Hockenson 10th to the Broncos, Noah Fant 30th to the Packers, Amani Hooker in the second round to the Vikings, Hakeem Butler and Anthony Nelson in the third round to the Ravens, and David Montgomery in the fourth to the Falcons. The Twins were postponed tonight, so we don't have that, but we'll have the doubleheader tomorrow on the North Gym. But tonight after the show, we do have the Celtics trying to go up 3-0 on the Pacers. Tip-off set for 7:30 on the South and Main gyms.
Alex is getting ready to share some of his Stanley Cup playoff thoughts inside of Love It or Leave It.
If you don't love it, leave it. Let the song that I'm singing be a warning.
Two choices, one answer.
We either love it or we leave it.
It's okay. Ricky gave us permission to do this.
So we want to make sure moving forward that we have the okay to call that segment Love It or Leave It. Since you're sort of the owner.
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Fine with that.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Number one.
New challenges and a new opportunity for Iowa, Todd.
I'm going to love this. We wish the best for Andrew Francis as he departs Eastern Iowa. He had a very nice tweet that he shared with everybody on social media last night about how much he fell in love with Iowa. But after 9 years under Fran McCaffrey at Iowa and three prior to coming to Iowa City under Fran at Siena, he's decided to join the staff at Cal, and sounds like he's adding some responsibilities, taking a larger role in the coaching. He's ready to take his next step as an assistant coach. I do think he would like to be a head coach someday, and I think this is going to help him maybe get a little closer to attaining that goal. And as we discussed earlier this week on the show, this is the opportunity that fans have been waiting for with Fran McCaffrey. Two off seasons ago, they were calling for Fran to push someone out the door. Tell Kirk Spiro to retire. Tell Sherman Diller to retire. Make a change. Make a change. Well, Fran's a loyal guy. He's got some mafia to him. You're loyal to him. He's loyal to you. This gives him an opportunity to give the staff a fresh voice, a new face, new ideas, and in particular, as we have covered in great deal on this show, it gives him the chance to find his own Luke Yaklich, the defensive guru that John Beilein brought in from Illinois State a couple years ago and consistently has Michigan as one of the best defensive teams in the Big Ten, despite the fact that about 5-6 years ago, Michigan looked a lot like Iowa. They could score with anybody, and they couldn't stop anybody. And he brings in one guy, and that guy changes the culture of that team on the defensive side of the ball. So best opportunity for Andrew Francis. We wish him all the best and a great opportunity for Fran McCaffrey to mix things up. You've got to love it.
Number two.
No trust.
Todd, I love this. What is going on in Oakland with the Raiders is a never-ending saga. It is the gift that just keeps on giving. Ian Rappaport reported today that coach John Gruden and general manager Mike Mayock sent their scouts home for the weekend, and they are not expected to return by draft time. The belief is they don't know who to trust and wanted to clear the room. This comes about 2 weeks after the fact that John Gruden publicly said, "Hey, Mike, don't screw this up," after he screwed up last year's draft so badly. And if you noticed, here are the two ways you can interpret Ian Rappaport's tweet. You can either interpret it as he doesn't know, he doesn't trust the evaluations of the scouting department, which, why don't you get a new scouting department?
Yeah, I'm not sleeping good at night if I'm a Raiders fan and I hear that. So is this a better scenario or a worse one?
I don't think it's better or worse. I think it's just as bad. Or it's that he doesn't trust the scouting department to keep information in-house, which I think is more likely because somehow Ian Rappaport is tweeting about the fact that the scouts got home, meaning information got to Ian Rappaport. So I think this is the more likely situation. And if you remember last year, so much of their information was leaking out to the media, which brings me back to, yeah, get a new scouting department. And this is 6 days before the draft. So just not an ideal situation for a team that has three first-round draft picks in the entire tenure of John Gruden's career in Oakland, the second time around, riding on this draft. If they hit this draft, they might be okay. If they whiff like they did last year, it's all over. It'll be over before year two of their time in Oakland. So either way, it just seems like every single time we hear about the Oakland Raiders, something is going wrong.
Number three.
500.
500. The Cubs are just a few outs away. Precarious outs away because Brad Brock is on the mound right now, although he's got his ERA under 4 on the season. But Kyle Hendricks shoved today at Wrigley Field, and now the Cubs are 3 outs away from, yes, 500. And while that seems like a very pedestrian thing to celebrate, you look back on the way that the season started, and you look at the standings in the National League Central right now, and you realize that the Cubs would be just 2 games out of first place behind the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Milwaukee Brewers. Pittsburgh on top of the standings. Yes, remember, it's early. How can you not love this if you are a Cubs fan? Hendricks has been fantastic. The last 3 games against the Marlins, they finished off a sweep of the worst team in baseball, but Darvish looked like he was making progress. Jose Quintana and Cole Hamels pitched back-to-back outings that the Cubs hadn't seen out of left-handed starters in back-to-back outings since 1935. Dare I say it, things are looking like they are trending in an almost positive direction for the Chicago Cubs. Gotta love it.
Number four.
Cleveland West.
Before I start, can I get you to say the Cubs are back?
Nope.
Okay. Last time you did that, it was fun because
last time I did that, it was after opening day, and then they went into a massive tailspin. The Cubs are back.
Yes.
There you go. Now you can. Everybody out there can blame me.
Cleveland West. The Los Angeles Lakers are reportedly interviewing Ty Lue, and according to Adrian Wojnarowski, following the firing of Luke Walton, Ty Lue was the front runner, and it looks as though he is going to get the job in Los Angeles. And this is when LeBron James left Cleveland. There were so many things about what he went through in Cleveland that so many people didn't want to see repeat wherever he went next. He's getting older. People wanted to see him go to a situation where there were stars around him. There was a coach that would be able to relate to him. There was a GM that would be able to make the decisions and not have him involved in all of those decisions, and that has absolutely not been the case in Los Angeles. How many times in Cleveland do we see this rotation of average to league average to below average supporting cast players, whether it was Mo Williams or Anderson Varejão or Antoine Jameson? This year was just a repeat of all of that, and they had so many injuries. But guys like Tyson Chandler and Lance Stephenson and Rajon Rondo, that's just not going to get it done in the Western Conference. And now they have a general manager who has stepped down. How many general managers did they go through in Cleveland? They have a coach that has been fired, and they're going back to the coach who I guess sort of got along with LeBron James while he was in Cleveland. They're hiring the same guy who coached him in Cleveland. It just seems like the lazy way out, and they've taken that turn at every juncture. So I was hoping that when LeBron left Cleveland, he would go into a situation where every other superstar that has a chance to win a title was going. Supporting cast, a good coach, a GM that would not be afraid to make decisions. Instead, we got exactly what Cleveland was like for him for over a decade, 2.0. And I just don't see this ending well, and it's going to be interesting to see what becomes of next season. So I leave this.
Number five.
Where's the beef?
Where's the beef? That's something that fans have been asking for a number of years when it comes to Fran McCaffrey's non-conference basketball schedules. And this year, Fran says, I got your beef right here, buddy. He hinted after the loss to Tennessee in the NCAA tournament that Iowa was going to play one of its toughest non-conference schedules in school history. And boy, oh boy, does it certainly look as if he were telling the truth. We know that Iowa is going to play Creighton in Las Vegas, and then either Texas Tech or San Diego State in that same tournament. They've got Cincinnati in a neutral site game at the United Center in Chicago. They've got to travel to Iowa State this coming season. They're going to be involved in both the ACC Big Ten Challenge as well as the Gavitt Games, and they've sprinkled in just a few what you could only describe as winnable games in the non-conference schedule. So for those fans out there that have been wondering where the beef was with Iowa's non-conference schedule, Franny's fired up the grill, and he's got those all-beef patties. I don't know where I was going with that analogy, but it's a good-looking schedule that kicks off November 6th with SIU Edwardsville. That was one of the games that I was referring to.
Number six.
57 Chevy. 57 Chevy.
Todd, you remember Paul LaDuca? I'm sure, I know you remember. I don't know why I'm asking you this question.
Paul LaDuca is a former catcher who is really big into gambling now that he's retired.
He has the Favorites podcast, and he apparently is very much into gambling and has a entire podcast devoted to it. Well, Joe West, longtime Major League Baseball umpire, has been the topic of many conversations, and he was the one who threw Tim Anderson out of Wednesday's game, and people were wondering why he did so, and I guess now the language was the reason that he threw Tim Anderson out of the game. And it was one day where I just wish that Hawk Harrelson was back announcing the game.
What are you doing, Joe West?
He's becoming a disgrace to the umpiring profession. Well, Paul LaDuca shared a story about Joe West. He said one day in I guess when he was playing for the Mets, Billy,
you know who would have made a good umpire? Yaz.
Billy Wagner comes into the game and he goes out to the mound. Paul LaDuca goes out to the mound and says, "Hey, what do you want to throw here?" Billy Wagner says, "Hey, set up 3 inches off the inside corner. I promise you." He's like, "What are you talking about? Joe hates me. He hasn't given us the corner all game." Billy says, just do it. Paul LaDuca says that Billy Wagner throws 9 consecutive pitches, 3 inches off the inside corner. Joe West rings up 3 guys in a row. Guys are throwing their bats, screaming. Goes to the dugout, and Paul goes, "Billy, what the hell just happened?" He said, well, Joe loves me. He's a big antique car fan, and I let him borrow my 57 Chevy when he comes into town, so he gives me about 3 inches off the inside corner. This guy is still umpiring. This guy is still out there making a mockery of himself and the game. And you would think, after all of these years of these guys getting heavy scrutiny and heavy evaluations, there'd be this sort of, okay, Joe, thanks for your service. Thanks for your time. Let's let you ride off in the sunset. That day hasn't come, but that day needs to come. Maybe. And these types of stories are embarrassing for him and the game of baseball.
He's just a big Eric Clapton fan. He gets off on 57 Chevys and screaming guitars. He's Country Joe West.
Oh, yeah. He's apparently a very good country singer, according to Paul LaDuca. He would sing.
He has released albums in the past, I believe.
Number 7.
Grab him if you can.
Grab him if you can, fantasy baseball players. Although, if your league is worth a salt, he most likely is not available. But according to an ESPN Desportes reporter, who is always dialed in on Dominican issues, Vladito is on his way to the major leagues. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. reportedly set to make his major league debut Tuesday against the San Francisco Giants. I believe it looks like former Cubs pitcher Jeff Samardzija is the scheduled starter. If you missed it, Vlad Jr. in his latest AAA exploits, I believe this was either last night or Wednesday night, they were playing the Pawtucket Red Sox at Old McCoy Stadium in Pawtucket. He hit a ball out of the stadium. He's going to be good. He's going to be the rookie of the year, in my opinion. And if you have the ability to add him to your fantasy baseball roster, do it now. Even if you have to start him over the weekend when he's not getting you any stats, this is the type of guy who could win you your fantasy baseball league. And if you're not a fantasy baseball player, you're just a baseball fan, I'm telling you, watch this kid, because he could be as good, and dare I say it, maybe better than his dad. This guy can hit. Of course, he's going to be a designated hitter in about 2 years, given his body, but he can hit. Love it.
Number 8.
Electric. Speaking of Eric Clapton, yeah.
This was the word that wide receivers coach Kelton Copeland used for his somewhat new slot receivers, Nico Reganey, who we didn't see last year. We saw a little bit of Tyrone Tracy a year ago. And this is very, very good news for Iowa fans. First of all, I don't think that Kelton Copeland is someone who sugarcoats anything. He talked about Amir Smith-Marset, now the veteran wide receiver, as a guy who's been inconsistent. But there is a lot of buzz about these two slot receivers and Nico Reganey and Tyrone Tracy's ability to hit the big play. And this is something that this offense has desperately needed for a long time. And since I have been here, really has not had. Marvin McNutt was outstanding on the outside. DJK was a pretty solid hybrid type wide receiver, but they've never had that inside slot. I'm not going to say never, but as of late, they have not had that game-breaking slot receiver, and they might have two of them heading into next year, which is good news because, as I mentioned, Brandon Smith is another year older, and he had an outstanding year last year as an outside receiver, and Amir Smith-Marset, if he can find some consistency, we know what his big play capabilities are as well. Now, they have to go out and show it on the football field. I will believe it when I see it, which is exactly the stance I take with anything involving the Iowa offense, but I do believe that the potential is there and they have more than one guy to go to, which comes at a very good time after losing two elite level tight ends. So I love this. Electric.
Number 9.
Fish fry failure.
Today is the final Friday of the Lenten season, and I did not make it to any of the fantastic fish fries throughout Eastern Iowa, but I get off at 7 o'clock tonight, so if there's still one going on that runs until, say, 7:30, 8 o'clock, hit me up on the Hertin & Stocker Jewelers text line, 319-366-1600. I want me a belly full of deep-fried fish, and I would like to enjoy it this evening before the fish fries sort of go away until next Easter and Lenten season. So if you know of a good fish fry, preferably here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, 366-1600. I love a good fish fry. I'm not even Catholic.
Number 10.
A tortured fan base meets playoff madness.
Todd, last night at about 10:30 p.m., I was just so exhausted after a huge win for my favorite hockey team that I could not move. And it sort of underscored what I saw all of last night, what I've seen from different fan bases who get to the playoffs, who haven't had a lot of postseason success, like the St. Louis Blues, who have been in the NHL since 1966 and have made the playoffs more than 44 times in their time in the NHL, but have never won a cup. You're expecting the worst. They get up 2-0. We've seen this before. They lose two games in a row at home. They go back to Winnipeg. They get down 2-0 through the first two periods. And you think that the series is over, and you fail to realize that even the best teams in the NHL, like the Chicago Blackhawks, when they won 3 cups in 6 years and were bordering on that dynasty talk, had so many ups and downs in the playoffs. You forget last year, the Washington Capitals, in their Eastern Conference Finals, same thing happened to them. They won 2 games on the road, then they lost 2 games at home. But you're not seasoned to think that everything's going to be okay. You're not seasoned to think, oh, this team can make a comeback, even though that's exactly what they did last night. They scored 3 unanswered goals in the third period. And it sort of reminded me of that 2016 playoff run for the Chicago Cubs. And correct me if I'm wrong, Todd, but it was sort of the same situation. Team during the regular season was outstanding. They get into the playoffs, and things don't always go great all the time when you're in the playoffs. You get down to the San Francisco Giants in the first round, and you think, okay, they have a 5-run lead, and we're going to have to go back home and face Madison Bumgarner in game 5. Well, they come back and they win that game. They get down 3-1 or 2-1 against the Dodgers. The season is over. They come back and win that series. They get down 3-1 to the Indians. The season is over, according to a lot of fans. It's just this weird roller coaster ride, and this is only round one. So I leave this. This is too much to take. It really is.
And that is Love It or Leave It, 449. Cubs are back to 500, officially putting the finishing touches on a win over the Arizona Diamondbacks. That's good news if you're a baseball fan. Well, if you're a Cubs fan. Bad news for baseball fans of one particular NL East team when we return after this.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at lindertire.com.
Many mammals and birds include the expansive grassland of Target Field along their migratory path. In April, this ecosystem attracts animal activity from deadly predators such as the Detroit tiger to songbirds like the Toronto blue jay. No stranger to this adversity, the Twins fan comes prepared with several layers of clothing and, of course, a plaid flat cap. On April 27th, the elusive Baltimore Oriole will pay its visit, and the first 10,000 fans will receive a plaid flat cap courtesy of Pepsi.
Baseball season just started, and I'm looking forward to seeing how those big-time free agents impact their new franchises. And if you're a small business owner, there's no better place to find the impact hire to help your business than LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs takes the time to learn more about who you're looking for and then recommends qualified candidates from their community of engaged and career-minded people, candidates who you likely won't be able to reach anywhere else. The truth is, over 70% of the U.S. workforce is on LinkedIn. And posting your job on LinkedIn gives you the best chance of finding and starting a conversation with your next star recruit. It's no surprise a new hire is made every 8 seconds using LinkedIn. So build your winning team by posting a job on LinkedIn and visit linkedin.com/sports to get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/sports for $50 off your first job post. linkedin.com/sports. Terms and conditions apply.
Pros know doing it right means getting more bang for your buck because putting more toward your bottom line is good for business. Lowe's does it right with savings on the brands you trust. Come in now during our Stock the Shop event and save up to 25% off select tools and accessories from DeWalt, Irwin, Bostitch, and more. Like $40 off a Bostitch 16-gauge finished nail gun now for just $139. For your next job and the next, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offer valid through 4/21. See store for details. U.S. only.
The weather's heating up, which means it's the perfect time to get that brake job done. At AutoZone, we have everything you need to do it right. Replacing your brake pads? It might be time to replace your rotors, too. Our Duralast brake bundle has the proven tough Duralast pads and rotors you need to do the complete job, starting at only $99.99 and sold only at AutoZone. Getting the job done just got easier. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Here's Tony Romo for Skechers Slip-On Footwear.
I like to make my life easy. I got a car that can drive itself, a robot that vacuums my whole house.
Carpet has been cleaned.
And Skechers Slip-Ons. They don't have laces, so I can just slip them on and off with ease. And they take comfort to another level. They're flexible, breathable, and have Skechers air-cooled memory foam. Plus, they come in a wide variety of current styles. Skechers Slip-Ons. You'll never want to wear anything else.
Try Skechers Slip-Ons with air-cooled memory foam today. Skechers. Comfort included.
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this. Your favorite team is playing. You're streaming the game. 10 seconds left. Your team shoots. Oops, your data runs out.
Look, don't let that happen. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks.
Join Team Straight Talk and get unlimited talk and text plus 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month.
Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart.
First 25 gigs at high speed, then 2G. See terms at straighttalk.com.
Looking to build a deck? Think Trex is out of your price range? Well, now you should take a second look at the number one name in outdoor living, because the latest decking from Trex is engineered for the DIYer and priced to put the pressure on treated lumber. Plus, it comes with a 25-year fade and stain warranty, and that's something wood can't promise. So if you want to bring the superior performance and durability of Trex to your backyard, visit Trex.com for deck plans and to order samples.
100 years of hard work can take you far, and no one knows that better than Goodyear. In 1918, we started the Akron Wingfoots basketball team, laced up, and took to the court. And we've been outperforming the rest ever since. Goodyear proudly celebrates our 100th anniversary in basketball and our relentless dedication to being unstoppable. Goodyear, more driven.
April 25th on ESPN Radio, ESPN, and on ABC.
4:54, welcome back in. It's the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on 1600 AM Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio, as well as great local programming like this show and the Gym Class, hosted by Scott Unash and Mark Dukes. You can tune in on Monday, beginning at 3 o'clock for Scott and Mark. They'll have some great giveaways for you. We've got a great giveaway for you today. Before 7 o'clock, somebody's going to walk away with a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. We'll be back at Mulligan's in 6 days. You can celebrate your post-Easter chocolate hangover with us at Mulligan's, 1060 Old Marion Road. It is also the first night of the NFL draft. So we will be stepping aside, I believe at 6 o'clock, to pick up coverage of the first round of the NFL draft, but we will be sticking around at Mulligan's and watching as TJ Hockenson and Noah Fant likely go off the board in the first round, and maybe even Hakeem Butler. So join us, 1060 Old Marion Road. More details available on our website, kgymradio.com. We mentioned going into the break that there was some bad news for a team, a Major League Baseball team that calls the National League East home you don't.
Who did the Mets lose?
Well, good guess.
I'm just expecting that somebody had a serious arm injury.
You are on fire right now. If you were a young child wandering around the room searching for Easter eggs right now, I would say you are really close. Jacob DeGrom has been sent back to New York. Mickey Callaway, the Mets manager, said that after his last start, his elbow was, quote, barking. Barking elbows usually lead to long stints on the disabled list. He's going to get an MRI. At this point, I think it's safe to say, since the Mets are involved, you can expect the worst.
I mean, if your elbow's making that kind of sound, then...
It's almost as if the elbow was listening to Bob Brenly talking about Hispanic players wearing bike chains around their neck and Cuban players flipping their bats. The elbow is just barking. Arf, arf, arf. I would have thought Noah Syndergaard would be the first Mets pitcher to have their arm explode this season. Ugh. But Jacob DeGrom, after what he went through last year, getting zero run support from that team, and then coming back this year and looking just as good, and now he's probably going to go on the disabled list for quite a while. It's unfortunate. A 366-1600. We mentioned the major story from the big leagues today. Tim Anderson, a one-game suspension for his role in igniting a scuffle between the Royals and the White Sox earlier this week. Anderson suspended for one game for language. And a couple texters have pointed out that over the weekend, Kyle Schwarber was rung up on a checked strike three. And if you're a lip reader, he charged at the third base umpire who made the strike three call. And you could read Schwarber's lips, and he said some pretty bad things. But he didn't get suspended for his language. Tim Anderson does. And now you've got
the one word. Yeah.
Now you've got the double standard police who are on the case, just like the Paw Patrol. I don't know. Look, did he deserve his suspension? Yes or no? That's our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. You can find them on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot.
I likened it to this time in middle school when I got stabbed in the back by a pencil, or with a pencil by a classmate. Got
to watch out for that lead poisoning.
And I screamed obscenities at this person, and I got the same punishment that the person who stabbed me did. That's sort of what I liken this Tim Anderson suspension to. He just got hit in the rear by a 96-mile-an-hour fastball. You're going to say some bad things. I think the Major League Baseball is overstepping on this one.
Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, we'll get you another Anderson Lumber Big Board update, as well as an Alexander Lumber Big Board update, as well as some more discussion with Jack Dom, the Mount Mercy baseball coach, all on the way after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
Their head coaching vacancy, reports ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. Lakers are also expected to have a second meeting with 76ers assistant Monty Williams. First round of the NBA playoffs continue tonight. A trifecta of game threes starts with the Raptors and Magic in Orlando, with the series tied at one. And ESPN's PJ Carlissimo doesn't see it as a surprise that the series is even after two games.
You look at this series all year, these guys have played six times now, and it's 3-3, including Orlando. Steve Clifford's group has split four games in Toronto.
And the Raptors versus the Magic is on ESPN TV and the ESPN app at 7 Eastern. Also tonight, the Pacers host the Celtics. Boston up two games to none. This game on ABC and here on ESPN Radio, with coverage starting at 8 Eastern. Michigan State point guard Cassius Winston is returning for his senior season. Winston was Big Ten Player of the Year, while Michigan State junior forward Nick Ward is entering the NBA draft. NHL Red Wings hire Steve Yzerman as the new general manager.
SportsCenter on ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com. Welcome to Spain and Fit.
The biggest challenge this time of year is which sport to watch. So many choices. The start of the baseball season, NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs. Watch it all at Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar. You'll see every home run, every slap shot, every slam dunk on Brick Alley's 180-inch big screen with stadium seating. They've got 20 beers on tap, happy hour weekdays from 3 to 6, and trivia Wednesday nights at 7. The choice is easy. Go to Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar on 7th Avenue in Uptown Marion.
5:02, welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn as we make our way towards 7 o'clock tonight. Friday's shows presented, as always, by Two Rivers Bank and Trust. You can find them in Iowa City and Coralville. Learn more about what they can offer you at tworivers.bank. Two Rivers Bank and Trust, member FDIC. My apologies to Alexander Lumber. As we were going to the top of the hour, we were talking about Tim Anderson of the White Sox. And I went in from that. I transitioned from Tim Anderson of the White Sox, and then I gave him his own lumber yard, and no bueno. So the folks at Alexander Lumber are going to be bringing you a big board update coming up here in about, well, let's call it 15 minutes with Kyle. We've also got that $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road, which you can use, hopefully coming up next Thursday for a KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. Look at this magnificent bottle of Chad Greenway's vodka.
Oh, it's fantastic. Oh, this is perfect. You know why this is perfect, Todd? Because the way that this bottle is set up, you can enjoy the contents inside. You won't even have to rip off the label. There will be no damage done to the bottle. You can fill it back up with water, and you can display it on your mantle. This is a win-win.
It is a beautiful-looking bottle, and I have to give a shout-out to a longtime listener of the program, Ann in Solon, who was kind enough yesterday to offer to pick me up a bottle and then tried to give it to me as a birthday present, but I did reimburse her for it. And I think, wait for it, it is April 19th, 2019, and I am officially letting her off the hook at this moment for the miserable winter that we had. Because if you may recall, it was Ann in Solon who said she wanted a crap ton of snow.
Yeah, that was her fault.
And we got a crap ton of snow, and then the next snowstorm was a crap ton of snow. And then every subsequent snowstorm was a crap ton.
It was just
miserable winter, and I blamed her.
There were crap tons of crap ton snowstorms.
And then
it was ridiculous.
This makes up for it. So thank you very much, Ann. I'm going to go home tonight, and my wife is going to roll her eyes and say, another bottle of alcohol? After the two yesterday for
honestly,
my birthday?
You got a couple yesterday, and that's what I was going to get you. And I decided, you know what? No. You don't need another one.
I'm fascinated by MLB's flip-flopping on Tim Anderson. Because a couple days ago, MLB's official Twitter account, this is on Wednesday, tweeted out, keep doing your thing, at Tim Anderson 7. Clapping hands emoji, hashtag let the kids play, with a couple screen grabs of quotes from Tim Anderson. So just to get everybody caught up to speed, on Wednesday, Major League Baseball's official Twitter account was celebrating Tim Anderson, and on Friday, he's being suspended. One game, let the kids play. I want to talk about another team that's primarily black and white as far as its color scheme goes, and throw plenty of silver in there. You touched on this during Love It or Leave It, but the Raiders have always, no, they haven't always. There was a time and a place where the Raiders were a respected organization. Way back in the days of John Madden as the head coach, and even when I was a young man with Todd Christensen and Howie Long, and they had some very great players there in Oakland and then Los Angeles and then Oakland, and now they're going to Las Vegas. But for the better part of the last couple decades, the Raiders organization has been a complete, utter joke. And I didn't think things could get any worse when Al Davis's son took over, Mark Davis. You're probably familiar with him. They show him on TV a lot because he's goofy looking.
Yeah, he likes P.F. Chang's, that guy.
He likes to eat at P.F. Chang's. He wears a fanny pack, drives a minivan, and the minivan has a VCR in it, if I remember the profile correctly. This guy's a gazillionaire. Again, I bet he's got people. He's a gazillionaire, and he's quirky. Because when you have all the money in the world, you can be quirky. And everybody just says, oh, he's got all the money in the world. You or I do that, people are going to say, that guy's got issues. Reset the story here, because it's almost too bizarre to believe. But Ian Rappaport tweeted out earlier today that the Raiders have essentially, the NFL draft starts Thursday, and the Raiders have essentially hung the closed sign on the front door. Sorry, Moose Outside should have told you. They're closing down shop before the NFL draft. They have sent all their scouts home.
Ian Rappaport reported today that sources are telling him that John Gruden and general manager Mike Mayock, formerly of ESPN and NFL Network respectively, sent their scouts home for the weekend and they are not expected to return by draft time. The belief is they don't know who to trust and wanted to clear the room. So you can read into that two ways, right? You can read into that as they don't believe in some of their scouts, so there's a lot of differing opinions in the room about prospects, and they don't trust their scouts. That's bad. What's worse would be the other way to read into it, is that they don't trust their scouts to hold information and believe that they're going to leak all of their information on draft day to the public and give information to other teams and potentially hurt their drafting strategy. That's worse. And from the story here, this is like Inception, where you have a leak within a leak. Like the story here is, I think, the latter. They believe that their scouts are leaking information to the media, which is basically exactly what this report is, right? A leak to the media about the fact that they were sent home by John Gruden and Mike Mayock. This is bizarre.
I have this image of Gruden saying, man, I got this.
I got this.
You guys get out of here. I got this.
Me and
Mike.
The
Raiders have 3 first-round draft picks, and they're going to use one of them on a D3 lineman who dropped out of school and they're unaware of it or something. Like, some guy who gave up football for the priesthood. And Gruden's going to be like, my bad. Liked him. Saw him on film. Loved him. Motor. Grinder. I got this.
Great athlete.
Me and Mayock have this. If you're that worried about your people, it tells me that you've got some major issues inside the palace walls.
Either way you interpret that, there's something wrong with your scouting department. And don't you think that that probably should have been addressed, I don't know, last year when this happened? Like, last year when both of these problems were present, not only did you draft horribly, but you had information leaking out, just gushing out of your war room?
It is interesting. I don't know what they're going to do here. Gruden may not know what they're going to do here. Is there any way, this is now what, year 2 of this, is there any way that this works out in the end for the Raiders? I have a couple friends who have been Raiders fans almost all of their lives. They're older than I am. They remember when the Raiders were relevant and really good. And I'm not talking about when they were a blip on the radar about a decade ago. Is there any way, after seeing this story, is there any doubt that this is not a crash and burn?
I will say a little bit, and here's why. They have 3 first-round picks. I know that the way that they selected last year gives you no confidence that they're going to use those picks well. And if you think about guys in the past where Jeff Fisher had a couple of first-round picks after trading away the number 1 overall pick 1 year, and he drafted Aaron Donald and Michael Brockers and a lot of those guys. 1 out of the 7 that he picked really worked out. 3 first-round picks is hard to screw up, especially in this draft. Especially if you draft a pass rusher. because there are six or seven guys in this draft that are elite level pass rushers. So I'm going to wait to see what they do in the draft. But if they go out there and take another Colton Miller, another guy that probably should have fell to at least the third or fourth round with their, let's see.
Here's a guy
who did really well at the combine, but can't play football very well. If they do that again, then yes. If they don't hit on this draft, it's over. Yes.
By the way, if you ever want to hear Mel Kiper Jr. in a really awkward moment, catch him when he does any interview, especially with Stephen A. Smith. He was on with Stephen A. Smith the other day, and these draft guys, they like to talk up the sleepers, the guys.
They've got their guys. Yes.
As a matter of fact, and I feel like an idiot for not knowing much about this show. Apparently, there's a player at Western Illinois who is climbing up the draft board to the point where he could be a second round draft selection. Mel Kiper mentioned him. I think he's a lineman. And this is where Alex is like, he's not a lineman. If you ever want to hear it get really awkward with Kiper, ask him who he thinks is going to be a bust, because that brought that segment to a halt yesterday on Stephen A. Smith's show, because these guys are all about pumping up
right
the unheralded prime. When they've got to call somebody a bust, then you can hear the wheels go, well, you know,
it's like an odds maker that's in someone else. All right, which one of these games is going to go under? They're not necessarily comfortable going that route. So, yes, everyone is a sleeper. They don't want to go and say, all right, this guy who's going to be drafted at the top of the first round, Josh Allen out of Kentucky, you know what? He's going to be a bust. Because a lot of those guys hit too. They never want to do that. Ever.
It was you could definitely tell that the mood and the momentum of the segment changed, shifted. Speaking of momentum shifting, and we'll get to, again, I want to revisit St. Louis and Winnipeg the other night, but this is big news in the NHL. Steve Yzerman is coming back to Detroit, and this is after basically remaking the Tampa Bay Lightning into the most successful franchise, the President's Cup winner this season, and of course, that got them swept out of the Stanley Cup playoffs by Columbus, which had never won a postseason series before. But
hockey guy, where are you?
You know what? I actually almost looked on the text line earlier today
to
find hockey guy, and I was going to reach out and text him and say, hey, 5 o'clock hour, Steve Yzerman, we're going to discuss this. This story is not getting a ton of run on ESPN because ESPN doesn't like talking about hockey because they don't air it. They gave up the rights after one of the many work stoppages under Gary Bettman. Steve Yzerman, for those of you who don't follow hockey, he's not Gordie Howe in the eyes of Red Wings fans, but he's
pretty damn close.
He's probably a step below Gordie Howe. This guy is Red Wings hockey, and he's coming home, and he's going to give that organization a much-needed facelift. From top to bottom, he's going to try to do the same thing in Detroit that he did in Tampa Bay.
I think he's going to be able to do it, too. This is a guy who has shown to be, yes, he was a good player, but he's also been a very good executive as well. You brought up the Tampa Bay Lightning, completely rebuilt the roster, and I know people are going to downplay it because, of course, you can put together a good team in the Olympics if you're the general manager for Team Canada. But he put together several gold medal winning teams that way. So this is exciting for the Detroit Red Wings. And it's one of those things where the NHL definitely can benefit from a team like Detroit finding some kind of relevancy again, because they have, it seems like they've been tanking now for about 4 or 5 years.
According to the Detroit Free Press, and an article written by Chris Thomas, the groundwork on this began last summer when Yzerman was talking with Lightning management about a contract extension. And it's funny how sometimes this doesn't work. He had still been living, maintaining a home in Detroit.
Right.
And so he never really left Detroit. And it just sort of planted the seeds here that, you know, maybe instead of working in Tampa, he could do this with the Red Wings, the franchise that he was a major star for. And if I'm a hockey fan, especially of a division rival, I'm looking at what he did in Tampa and I'm thinking the last thing that you want is that franchise, one of the original six. This is where Keith Olbermann chimes in and says there is no original six. One of the most storied franchises in the history of hockey. The last thing you want is Steve Yzerman coming in there and getting that franchise back to glory.
It's going to be a couple of years, but I think that they're going to be right back in the playoffs by, we'll call it 2021.
I'm not seeing anything from Hockey Guy on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. My feelings, I'm not going to lie, they are a little bit bruised. 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can use it to reach out to us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Jack Dom, the Mount Mercy baseball coach, caught up with us earlier today. He's going to bring you his weekly segment, Touching All the Bases, coming up in just a few minutes. Mount Mercy playing Clark at the Plaster Athletic Complex here in Cedar Rapids right now. It's senior day for the Mustangs, so Jack is unable to join us live, but we did pick his brain earlier today. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com will be with us as well. It is 5:18, drive time, well underway. Drive time brought to you by our good friends at Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. Check them out online for special website-only savings or visit them in person in Grinnell, North Liberty, or Iowa City. Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. A lot more to get to, including an amazing finish in that Blues-Jets game last night that has Alex flying high, no pun intended, for the Winnipeg Jets fans. If we've got a Winnipeg Jets fan in Eastern Iowa, I'd love to meet him.
I've never met a Winnipeg Jets fan, though.
They had cool jerseys back in the day. It's what I do now that I'm 39 and even older. I get more grumpier and more nostalgic. Kyle is with us in the studio, though. I'm going to make sure that I say this correctly. We're not talking about Tim Anderson, so I'm not going to screw this up this time. Alexander Lumber. If you're building a deck this summer, maybe adding on to your house, looking for any sort of building project, the team at Alexander Lumber can help you find exactly what you're looking for to make your outdoor space pop and keep it on budget. Visit them on Independence Drive in Iowa City. Here's Kyle Mann, our producer, with a big board update.
The Iowa baseball team is beginning a three-game series hosting 30th-ranked Big Ten leading Nebraska this evening. The Hawkeyes currently sit fourth in the conference standings, but have won three consecutive Big Ten series, so they could really help themselves tonight. First pitch is set for 6:05. Games 2 and 3 will be 2 o'clock and 1 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday, and something to keep in mind is that tomorrow's game is Hawkeye Football Day, featuring pregame autographs with the team and Nate Stanley throwing out the first pitch. And Iowa State receivers entered the transfer portal. Redshirt sophomore Josh Johnson, he caught only one pass as a redshirt freshman and as a member of a very crowded and competitive receiver room in Ames. The 5'11 Arkansas native once held offers from Notre Dame, Oklahoma State, and Minnesota, among others. Around this time last year, it was the Iowa defensive staff traveling to observe and meet with Kirby Smart and Mel Tucker at Georgia. Today, Alex Halstead reported the Cyclone staff has been doing some of that as well. Matt Campbell told him he recently traveled to Clemson, and some Clemson coaches, including defensive coordinator Brett Venables, traveled to Ames. He also said several other staffers have gone to different places. With less than a week to the draft, NFL.com's Chad Reuter posted a 7-round mock draft today. He projects T.J. Hockenson 10th to the Broncos, Noah Fant 30th to the Packers, Amani Hooker in the second round to the Vikings, Hakeem Butler and Anthony Nelson in the third round to the Ravens, and David Montgomery in the fourth to the Falcons. The Twins were postponed tonight, so we don't have any of that, but we will have the doubleheader tomorrow on the North Gym, and then tonight after the show, we do have the Celtics trying to go up 3-0 on the Pacers, tip-off set for 7:30 on the South and Main Gyms.
No Tiger Woods at the RBC Heritage this weekend, but Cedar Rapids native Zach Johnson is playing well. He is at 4-under on the tournament. He has finished with his second round. That is just 4 strokes off the lead currently held by Shane Lowry, who is at 8-under through 10 holes. We'll keep you updated before 7 o'clock tonight. When we return, as promised, we caught up earlier today with Mount Mercy baseball coach Jack Dom. Touching All the Bases is next.
The name of the business is called Archery Veterans Barbecue and Catering Service. I grew up watching my mom in the kitchen as well as my grandfather. I absolutely loved to cook. I previously went to one bank and was told no. Hearing that word no, it's gut-wrenching sometimes. Then I walked into the Paco. The first thing they did was said, hey, look, let's open you a checking account. Where do you want to grow financially? First thing that I did state was, I want to own my own business. John wanted to know how serious I was. Give me your short-term and long-term goals. Once I did that, I came back to him with a game plan, and from that aspect, it just blossomed. Thank you for believing in me, not only as an individual, as a father, as a veteran, and as a human being.
Learn more about our impact at dupaco.com/impactful. Federally insured by NCUA Equal Housing Opportunity.
Look alive, coach. Are you ready for next season? If you're thinking about coaching K-12, school-sponsored athletics in Iowa, add getting your state certification from Kirkwood Continuing Education to your game plan. Kirkwood handles the required instruction and fingerprinting. Kirkwood coaching authorization and recertification classes are going on now in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City. And now you can also take the classes online. Visit kirkwood.edu/coaching to get into the game.
Are you remodeling your home? Do your window sashes show signs of rot, or do you feel drafts through closed windows? Replace those old windows with the all-new Alexander Lumber window line. All the windows in this line come standard with premium features, including a flex screen, lifetime warranties, and much more in an array of colors and finishes. Learn more about this new, affordable, high-quality, stylish line of windows at Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street in Iowa City, and at Alexander Lumber, just 2 miles down the road at 2802 Independence Drive.
TCB Pool Hall isn't one of those joints with a table stuck in the back for atmosphere. Nah, TCB Pool Hall is legit, straight-up pool with 10 regulation full-size tables you rent by the hour. They've got a darn respectable beer selection, too, with 26 rotating taps and another 30-plus brews and bottles and cans. TCB isn't the place the kiddies play. You gotta be 21 to get in here. So skip the nonsense. Hang out, play pool, and drink cold beer at TCB Pool Hall in the heart of the Pet Bowl, downtown Iowa City.
Spring is a time for new beginnings and new ways to get smart rock and roll. Smart FM's got you covered with your favorite tunes spanning decades. Lacing up your running shoes? Tune to Smart FM. Getting ready to grill on the deck? Season your steak with Smart FM. Shining up those golf clubs in the garage? Keep your radio locked on Smart FM. Eastern Iowa's home for smart rock. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
The Celtics take games 1 and 2 at the Garden. Now the series shifts to Indianapolis, where the Pacers face a critical game 3.
Tonight, starting at 7 o'clock on 1600 AM and 106.3 FM, KGYM.
Welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, just a little bit before 5:30 on a Friday. Drive time driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. Check them out online, LinderTire.com, for all your automotive needs. They've got locations in Grinnell, North Liberty, and Iowa City. It is, of course, Friday in the 5 o'clock hour. Time now to check in with Mount Mercy baseball coach Jack Dom. Jack is joining us a little bit early today. We are talking to him earlier today and playing this back for everybody here in Eastern Iowa because, well, the Mustangs are in the middle of their senior day games at the Plaster Athletic Complex taking on Clark right now. And, Jack, let's go ahead and start with that because this isn't just any normal senior day for you, is it?
No, it really isn't. Kind of a bittersweet one. My friend Casey's been with us for 5 years since I took over. He did redshirt 1 year, and unfortunately he's injured right now. But not only because it's my son in the senior class, but the senior class we have this year is one of the top 4 or 5 classes I've ever coached in my 25 years. So, and again, I think it adds a lot to it because Casey – my son Casey's a part of it, but it's just a special group, special team. We've gotten great leadership with them through a tough year of injuries. They've kind of stuck with it, and we've put ourselves in a position to make the tournament. And today is going to be the first day that we have our actual lineup out there because of all the injuries that we've had. So we're excited about that also.
Well, Jack, let's go ahead and dive into a topic that has gotten a lot of traction over the last couple days after Tim Anderson threw or flipped his bat against the Kansas City Royals. Where do you weigh in on bat flips and players showing emotion playing the game?
You know what? It's interesting. I've had this exact conversation with some of the coaches in our league, you know, because there's kids now at this level who are flipping the bat and flying and almost going into our dugout for a home run in the fourth or fifth inning. So, and I think, Todd, you know, I'm a little bit more from the old school approach. But at the same time, I want these kids to have fun. One of our themes here in our program is we talk about shake and bake and having fun. And but at the same time, I think it has to be controlled. I think it was a little over the top what Tim Anderson did. And I think people have to understand is if you go over the top and turn around, face your dugout and throw your bat and scream at your teammates in not a big situation, you're probably going to end up wearing it and just wear it and get down to first base. I'm all for having a little bit of fun, but that was over the top. And if you go too far, you're going to pay the price. So I have heard a lot of people talk about the bench clearing brawls and all that kind of stuff. And I kind of like what some people said, if, you know, in, to save time, to make sure nobody gets hurt with people coming flying out of the dugouts and out of the bullpen. You know, in college, we have a rule. If you leave the dugout, you'll be thrown out of the game, or if you leave the bullpen. I don't think that's a bad ploy for Major League Baseball. And I wouldn't be surprised if they, you know, start looking at that in the next year or two. It's nothing that's going to come about right now, but down the road, I wouldn't be surprised if that's something that they don't look at doing.
Now, the other story from that game was the fact that Tim Anderson got thrown out of the game. Joe West is getting a lot of heat. Does Major League Baseball need to step in with Joe West?
You know what? It might be time for old Joe to step away. And, you know, umpires the best umpires are the ones that you don't notice. Joe West is the guy that you always know he's umpiring. And along with Angel Hernandez. Those two guys, Hernandez, you always know those guys are umpiring. And, you know, and I think he's taking it too far. And, you know, he's not as good of an umpire as he used to be either. And, you know what, and that's, I think it is time for Major League Baseball to stand in. You know what, to get thrown out of the game because he threw his bat and then he got hit, he didn't come running out of the dugout. You know, he actually was saying some words to the catcher. I don't think he should have been thrown out. There was no warrant. I didn't think anybody should have been thrown out of that game, to be honest with you. It's part of the game. There's no punches thrown. And I think Joe West overreacted.
Mount Mercy baseball coach Jack Dom with us on a Friday afternoon, our weekly segment, Touching All the Bases. Looks like the Cubs just needed to go play the worst team in baseball to figure out everything that was wrong with them. Funny how that works out, right?
You know what? One of the biggest keys to having a successful year is beating the teams you're supposed to beat. You know, so they did what they're supposed to do. They had to go there and win the series. And, you know, I thought it was a big positive when they actually came out and swept them. And so that was a big series for them. It was very much needed. You know, you look at the Cubs right now, they've only played 5 home games and, what, 12 or 13 on the road. They've had a very tough schedule as far as there's nothing worse than being in spring training and then going on the road for whatever it was, 7, 8, 9 game day trip that they went on. That's very, very hard. And they started to press a little bit. They got home, they started playing better baseball, and then they took care of business when they went to Florida. So that was good to see. They've got themselves back in the mix where they don't have to panic now. As I said last week, the biggest key for the Cubs is they just need to keep going out in winning series. Stay in that present moment focus. You keep winning series, and you're going to be right in the thick of things, which they've got themselves back, you know, in striking distance. It's way too early to panic. And, you know, the biggest thing is that pitching staff stepped up. It almost looks like they kind of kicked themselves, you know, where and when Lester went out. You know, and the pitchers have been doing a very, very good job. The bullpen's kind of getting itself back in order, and it's good to see. And the best part is the Cubs don't have Bryant or Schwarber or Rizzo actually, you know, swinging the bats as of yet. It's you know, the other guys. And so brighter days are ahead for the Cubs for sure. It's looking up.
You mentioned Rizzo and Brian in particular here. Is it time to get concerned about either one of these two guys?
I'm not concerned about Rizzo because, you know, he's been healthy. You know, he struggled early last year. He's a guy who just needs the bats. He needs the warmer weather. I think it definitely helped him. And his mentality is just so good. He's a leader. I tell you what, I saw Brian down in spring training when we were down in Arizona, and he looked tremendous. Bigger, stronger than he ever has. Bat speed was tremendous. The concern is he's been injured having that left shoulder. I truly believe with what I saw in batting practice down in spring training, he's going to be fine. He just needs to get in a little bit of a groove, and he'll get hot and some good things will happen to him. But I'm more concerned about Chris Bryant than I am about Rizzo. I think Rizzo has the track record. Rizzo's been healthy. It's just a case of getting some at-bats underneath his belt. And he's got such an unselfish team approach. You know, he chokes up. He'll find a way to get himself going for sure. And I still believe that Bryant will. But if I had one to be concerned about, it would be Bryant, just because he's got that shoulder issue that was lingering last year. You got to wonder if that's bothering him at all. They say it's not, you know, but he's not quite performing like we anticipate.
Jack, we all know that Christian Yelich is a great player, but he has 10 home runs on the season. 8 of them have come against the Cardinals. If you're Mike Schilt, is there a point where you stop pitching to him altogether?
I would have stopped a while ago. You know, sometimes you can't help it. And I haven't looked at the situation for all the home runs. I mean, if he's leading off an inning, I'm not going to give him anything close to home plate to hit. It would basically be the unintentional, intentional walk, as well as he's swinging the bat right now, especially against the Cardinals. Sometimes you just get in the groove. The other thing that I would definitely do is, you know, I'd move his feet. You know, you got to pitch him in hard and try to get him off balance. He's got such great balance as a hitter. Does a great job of getting extension on the ball away, lets it travel, and just drops the head of the bat on the ball in. But to me, I would throw 4 pitches in a row in off the black, and if you hit them, you hit them. Don't hit them intentionally. It's not the way to go, but throw it in off the plate anytime you have a chance, especially with nobody on. If you hit them in the hip, you hit them in the hip. But you got to move the speed a little bit, make them uncomfortable. And if you don't have to pitch to them, I definitely wouldn't.
One of the surprise stories in the National League so far this year has been the San Diego Padres. I was just watching them on the MLB Network the other night. They sort of bucked conventional wisdom by bringing up some of their young players from the minor leagues, service time be damned. And is this going to be a little bit of a trendsetter? Do you think other organizations are going to follow this moving forward?
You know, it might be. It's, you know, one of the things you're starting to see these teams do is bring the kids up early and then try to sign them to a organizational friendly contract where it's good money for the younger players right now. You don't worry about their service time. You just pay them up front. Now there's been plenty of players that we've heard about, especially us being Cubs fans, Todd, where you hear that they're going to be the next superstar, if it's Patterson, whatever. And they fizzle out. So it is a little bit of a gamble when you bring kids up and then you try to sign them. But, you know what? I kind of like it because if you're going to make a run, you're going to need those people, those players to be successful. And Tatis is a perfect example. You signed Machado. You told me he was going to play third base for a reason. That's because he's got Tatis Jr., who is a special, special player. Get him up there right away. He earned it in spring training. Who cares about the service time? Let's get him acclimated so it's not, you know, later on in the year, when all of a sudden he's got to make that transition to the big leagues, bring him up right out of spring training. I think you're going to see more and more people do that. I also think you're going to see a change in the rule with service time where you don't hold a kid in the minor leagues for one extra month to save service time. I think that'll be something that'll change in the next year or two through Major League Baseball and the Players Association.
Let's stay in the NL West. We brought up Christian Yelich. Is Cody Bellinger, the start that he's having, is he a budding superstar sort of cut from that same cloth?
You know what he is. You know, he's a little more of a swing and miss guy than Yelich, but he's made a couple of little adjustments to his posture when he's hitting, and it's made him a lot more consistent hitter. And, you know, one of the things is he still wasn't in the lineup last year every single day. He was playing some first base, playing some outfield. But by them getting rid of a couple of their outfielders, Twig and Kemp, you know, he knows he's going to be in the lineup every single day. He's got to be able to handle the lefties, got to be able to handle the righties. And boy, is he taking off. I think he's got, if I'm not mistaken, 10 home runs on the year. He's got a little better posture, straightened out his upper body a little bit. He did have it, you know, where he's looking to pull. Now he's straightened it out, has a little better posture, and is able to drive the ball the other way still and then still be quick to the inside pitch. He was looking to pull the ball a little bit too much, and by adjusting his posture and his upper body, now he's thinking about driving the ball up the middle, which it's kind of funny in baseball. Sometimes by not trying to pull the ball, you pull the ball better. By thinking middle of the field, you can stay inside the baseball and still get your hips through and the head of the bat out and do a good job of pulling the baseball. And the biggest key is keeping the ball fair. There's players in Bellinger last year at one point, they showed how many foul balls he hit that he pulled foul because he was looking to pull and he was coming around the baseball a little bit. And now he's staying inside the ball and he's learning how to keep that the ball that maybe he hit for a home run foul ball out of the park. He's now keeping it, hitting it to right, straightaway right field by not coming around the baseball as much. So he's always been a very bright future. And he's definitely taken advantage of this year. You know, I think what he's doing, 10 home runs in only 20-something games is absolutely phenomenal.
What do you think's going on with the Red Sox? Can an entire team just get the yips? They go from the World Series to being absolutely terrible so far this year through the first 20 games.
Yeah, you know what? It actually looks worse when you watch them play. I've only seen them play a couple games. But you're thinking, the first thing that crosses your mind is, you know, a hangover from the World Series hangover. But, boy, they don't look good at all. You know, they don't look confident at the plate. You know, they're not comfortable anywhere. You know, you got Chris Sale struggling. You know, some of their pitchers, you know, here's one of the things that does create a little bit of a hangover. When you go that deep in the and play that many postseason games, you know, often the pitchers don't get as many innings. You back off in spring training, so they're not quite where they need to be coming out of spring training just because they know it's a long season and you just came off a long season. But offensively, you know, you would have expected them. They were such a talented offensive team last year. They had a great two-strike approach. And you know what? They might have got away from that a little bit. You know, what the Cubs are, you know, really emphasizing right now is hitting the ball the other way, having a two-strike approach. And right now, the things that made Boston successful, they are not doing. Pitching number one, and offensively, they have no firepower anywhere up and down the lineup. So it is a concern. You know, Tampa Bay is playing so well. You know, how impressive is that organization for what they continue to do year after year after year? They kind of reinvent the wheel every year. But, you know, Boston, it's starting to get to that point where you panic a little bit. But we'll see what happens here over the next couple of weeks. They need to be in a better position, you know, at the end of April for sure.
Would you be worried about Chris Sale? I know he's 0-4, and he said that he just flat out stinks right now. But is this a guy who will bounce back?
He has proven that he will bounce back. But that's a very frail body. I think anytime Chris Sale struggles, you go right back to the same thing. And the very first thing when he was throwing in college, and I remember the scouting report time, you looked at him, you know, throws across his body, three-quarters arm slot, not a strong physical guy. You know, where innings, how will he handle the innings with his arm slot, with the lack of size? And I think that's one of the things that is going to be a concern. Now, he will be a guy, because of his arm slot, because of his competitiveness, you know, he might be going through that time now where also he's got to make some adjustments because his velocity is going to be down. Think of a guy like CC Sabathia. CC was a power left-hander that threw across three-quarter arm slot, not quite as low as Chris Sale. So Chris Sale might have to reinvent himself a little bit. If he doesn't get it going in the next month, you're going to see him start changing his pitching pattern and having to go to the changeup and not try to blow people away because his velocity is way down. But with his arm slot, with his competitiveness, with his feel for pitching, he will be able to reinvent himself, but he might be going the wrong way here, and it might be time to make some adjustments in how he attacks hitters.
Jack, before we part ways with you, development in the college baseball world today, the Division I Council voting down, adding a third assistant, a paid assistant, for both baseball and softball. I imagine coaches are probably pretty disappointed about this.
You know, I really am. And I was disappointed with when I heard the Big Ten wasn't going to, vote for it, and also the Big 12 wasn't going to support it. When you got the Power Five conferences not supporting that, that makes it very, very tough. And it also, it says the wrong thing, even in the recruiting. It's amazing that this will go to recruiting, but the ACC, the Southeastern Conference, is going to use it against the Big Ten and the Big 12 when they say, hey, they're not supporting baseball. They didn't even want an extra assistant. But more importantly, it's taking opportunities away from young coaches. I've got a young fellow right now, Devin Fujoka, who was with me for 3.5 years that I literally made him take a job in the Division I, a volunteer job in Northern Colorado, because I wanted him to have that Division I experience as a volunteer coach, because I was hoping that they would get that paid third assistant, where also a young fellow like Devin would be able to become a full-time assistant at the Division I level. It's taken opportunities away from young coaches. And more importantly, you got 35 guys on the roster. We have less coaches in baseball than basketball does, and it's a third, a lot smaller roster. So it makes it difficult. The other thing is the different positions. You need to have a hitting coach, a pitching coach, infield coach, outfield coach, catching coach. And these coaches are versatile, but it would be much, much better if you could get guys like a catcher to work with the catchers on a regular basis, and it would help in recruiting. And it is disappointing, and I wish it would have gone through, because there's a lot of young guys, including my son Casey. He wants to coach. It's taken opportunities away from young players who want to continue and be coaches at the college level. That was very disappointing news.
Jack, we appreciate it as always, and we will touch base with you next Friday. Thanks a lot.
I appreciate it, and go Hawkeyes. Huge series this weekend for them against Nebraska. Rick's got, the one thing that Rick has got going is he has his team believing they can win at home. They've been great at home, and I expect them to win the series this weekend against Nebraska.
All right, Jack, we'll talk with you next week. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys.
Mount Mercy baseball coach Jack Dom joining us this weekly segment, touching all the bases, and Christian Yelich referenced earlier there in the segment, fastest player to 10 home runs in Major League Baseball history, just taking 20 games to do it. And all it took was facing the Cubs and primarily the Cardinals,
mostly the Cardinals
pitching staffs.
Mostly the Cardinals. But he is a really, really special player at this point. So,
and Miami gave him away for a hill of beans, essentially.
Don't insult hills of beans.
Don't insult Derek Jeter. He's the genius who came in and decided that he was going to trade Giancarlo Stanton and Christian Yelich for pennies on the dollar, and at least seemingly got a decent return for JT Realmuto from the Phillies. But, man, if I'm a Marlins fan, I'm watching what Christian Yelich is doing in Milwaukee, and I'm going, why didn't we invest in that guy? Why didn't we keep him as the building block for the rebuild and build around him? I understand the logic behind it, completely tearing down to the studs. No pun intended, because the actual studs are playing elsewhere. But it's difficult to see somebody who is that young and that talented and was relatively affordable plying his trade elsewhere, especially within the National League.
Did they cave to him or his trade requests at that point? Well, I think he's like, this whole thing is burning to the ground. I got to get the hell out of here.
Well, Stanton moved first. Then Yelich, Ozuna. I think, if I recall correctly, that's right. I forgot about Marcell Ozuna, also traded for a handful of magic beans to the Cardinals. Not bitter, not jealous. I actually have Marcell Ozuna on one of my fantasy teams, so when they're not playing the Cubs, I'm all in on Marcell Ozuna. Just keep that shoulder healthy.
Yeah.
What is it about? Ozuna's got a shoulder. Bryant has a shoulder injury. I would be lying if I said I wasn't a little bit concerned about Chris Bryant's shoulder. Just I'm not seeing the power, and I'm not seeing that National League MVP from 2015. It's a little disconcerting right now, and Anthony Rizzo's got no excuse. He's just got to get the bat going.
Is he a notoriously slow starter?
If I recall correctly, it seems the last couple years he's gotten off to a slow start, but this just, and maybe it's the team's slow start, but this seems to have really magnified it. A friend of mine is completely off the Rizzo, the Rizzo train. Wants him, doesn't like that he's a captain, doesn't like the fact that he wants him to play somebody else at first base, right? Who else do they have to play first base? What do you do, Park Zobrist there? David Bote?
Only they still had Dan Vogelbach.
Large adult son, Dan Vogelbach, who's crushing the ball for the Seattle Mariners. That was a guy that
I
saw as a DH when he came up in the Cubs organization when they were still affiliated with Kane County. I took one look at him and I thought, he's going to be a trade piece somewhere. And he ultimately returned Mike Montgomery to the Cubs. And Mike Montgomery was on the mound for the final out of the 2016 World Series. And I think that's an okay trade. Montgomery, who, by the way, had a fairly nice rehab appearance in the Midwest League the other night with the South Bend Cubs, so he's close to rejoining Chicago at some point. We are making our way towards 6 o'clock tonight. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com will be with us inside the Big Hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. We'll get Rob's opinion on what Fran McCaffrey should do as far as replacing Andrew Francis now that Francis has left for Cal. Friday's programming, by the way, brought to you by Two Rivers Bank and Trust. You can find them in Iowa City and Coralville, tworivers.bank. Two Rivers Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn after this.
Connecting with your family and friends is what La Cantina is all about. It's where you go anytime with your family and friends to gather around the table, crunching, talking, sipping, and laughing. If you're celebrating something big, reserve their party room. Or if you're planning an event of your own, add some sizzle with their delicious catering. Connect with your favorite people at La Cantina, in the fountains on Edgewood Road, in downtown Cedar Rapids, and in Marion.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
We need to work as a team at this company, so today we're going to do a team-building exercise called Trust Falls. Sally, I want you to close your eyes, fall, and I'll catch you.
Okay.
One, two, three. Okay, lesson number one, fall forward.
Ow, ow.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with The Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-375-7751. That's 1-800-375-7751.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Find it at Firestone Complete Auto Care.
The weather's heating up, which means it's the perfect time to get that brake job done. At AutoZone, we have everything you need to do it right. Replacing your brake pads? It might be time to replace your rotors, too. Our Duralask brake bundle has the proven tough Duralask pads and rotors you need to do the complete job, starting at only $99.99 and sold only at AutoZone. Getting the job done just got easier. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. See store for restrictions and details. Get in the zone,
AutoZone. Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with The Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-375-7751. That's 1-800-375-7751.
Who'll change the future of your team?
So you ready for the draft? Let's get started.
Draft. Round one is Thursday, April 25th on ESPN Radio, ESPN, and on ABC.
551, welcome back into the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Coming your way on a Friday, 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym, heard all across eastern Iowa. Your home for ESPN Radio, as well as 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. Please dispose of all used towels properly. NBA playoffs continuing tonight. We will have the Celtics and the Pacers for you. Game three of that series. Boston with a 2-0 lead. Tip-off expected at 7:30 tonight in Indianapolis. Raptors and Magic about to get underway at the top of the hour. That series knotted at 1 game apiece. And tonight at 8:30, it's the Trailblazers looking to take a 3-0 lead on the Thunder. Stanley Cup playoffs are continuing as well. I know you mentioned this earlier on Love It or Leave It, but you're going to have to explain to me again how the St. Louis-Winnipeg game got to overtime last night.
Well, it didn't. The Blues...
I thought you told me at lunch today that that was the tying goal.
Well, the tying goal was the one that knocked the goal off of the pegs. That was with about 6 minutes left, and the go-ahead goal was with 15 seconds left.
That's worse than Anderson Lumber right there.
No, it's okay. I'm sure that there were a couple of people, maybe a dozen in the state of Iowa, that were watching it last night, but the Blues looked completely outclassed for two periods. They had looked completely outclassed for pretty much the last two games. For stretches, they lost two in a row. It looked like they were going to lose three in a row, heading back to an elimination game in St. Louis in game six. And they scored three unanswered goals, including the aforementioned one with, I think, about 6 minutes to go, where Oscar Sundquist fed Braden Schenn, and he knocked the goal off of its pegs. But the puck was going to go in regardless, and they ruled it a good goal. And then with 15 seconds left, it was this random Winnipeg tried to sit on the puck in the corner. It got jarred loose, and a pass from Tyler Bozak to Jaden Schwartz as he knocked it out of midair with 15 seconds left. Past Connor Hellebuyck, won it, and it was a pretty miraculous comeback. I thought there was no chance they were going to win that game, but the twists and turns of the Stanley Cup playoffs, there's nothing like it. It is a true roller coaster ride. And this is only the first round.
We will come back for a 6 o'clock hour with Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com, set to join us to give us his opinion on what Fran McCaffrey should do now that he's got an opening on his coaching staff. We'll also discuss plenty of football with Rob. I know there were some interest in a Red Sox roster move made earlier this week with catcher Blake Swihart. When he was designated for assignment, there was some thought that perhaps the Chicago Cubs could wind up working out a deal for him. They need a backup catcher with Victor Caratini on the shelf. But according to Chris Cotillo, who is the Red Sox beat writer for MassLive.com, the Red Sox have traded Swihart and international bonus pool space to the Arizona Diamondbacks for outfielder Marcus Wilson. This is interesting because the Diamondbacks have at least two catchers on their roster, one of them being Carson Kelly, the former St. Louis Cardinals prospect that came over in the Paul Goldschmidt deal. Blake Swihart at one point in time was one of the top catching prospects in baseball, and then after 3-4 seasons, you start realizing maybe a guy's more of a suspect than a prospect, but he will not be wearing a Chicago Cubs uniform. 319-366-1600. Cubs back to the 500 mark today with a victory over the Arizona Diamondbacks, the aforementioned Arizona Diamondbacks at Wrigley Field. Big plans this weekend?
I'm actually heading back to St. Louis for Easter to hang out with the family. So not necessarily huge plans, but I'm going to be heading south after the show and spending some quality time with my family, which I'm sure many of you listening are going to be doing the same.
Well, I enjoy it when an unintentional segue becomes a segue, because speaking of heading back, Cassius Winston back in East Lansing for another winter with Tom Izzo and the Spartans. That is certainly a game changer in the Big Ten.
It's huge.
Mac McCausland has weighed in on it on Twitter. I don't want to spoil any of the fun for those of you that follow Mac, but
I think I have an idea of what he... I have not seen what he tweeted, but I have an idea of what he said.
So Nick Ward is gone. Cassius Winston's coming back, and it's still Tom Izzo's world. The rest of us are just living in it.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised that Cassius Winston is returning. This is a guy who needs to get every ounce of glory out
this
of
is a
his,
guy.
His college career, because he is a fantastic college basketball player and has a chance to be one of the best point guards in the country next season. And I just don't see him as an NBA player. I think he's almost an overachiever at this level, where you wonder, okay, his size is he's not all that big, he's not all that quick, his handle is okay, his shot has really improved. He's become a much better scorer, and he's a college basketball player. He's a great college basketball player, and the college basketball scene will get to see him for one more year, which is exciting.
Megan Gustafson, I know this is really hard to believe, but
she won another award.
Megan Gustafson picked up some more hardware.
Can we make an award for her so she can win another one?
She has won something called the Honda Sports Award. Your guess is as good as mine here. I don't know the parameters for the particular
top woman
award.
In college basketball.
Okay, so she's the top woman in college basketball in the eyes of everybody except the people who voted for the Wooden Award.
The Wooden Award, yeah.
And before you get mad, and I have mentioned this on the air before, I am a Wooden voter, but I only have a vote on the men's side. They don't trust me with the women. Apparently, I'm not part of the intelligentsia that decided Megan Gustafson wasn't good enough for the Wooden Award. So don't get mad at me. I got to get the bumper sticker for my, well, first I got to get the Explorer fixed, and then I'll have the bumper sticker that says, "Don't blame me. I voted for Zion." I'm supposed to I'm supposed to say that publicly.
You said it
or not.
Out loud.
Keith Murphy, my pal over at WHO in Des Moines, set me up. He was supposed to recruit a Wooden voter. He thought I would do a good job, and I may or may not have just broken one of the cardinal rules. I think this is
voting
for the Pope. It's supposed to be done in
everybody
in
knew
secrecy.
Who you voted for.
Well, I thought it was obvious, but
I would hope.
Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com is going to join us when we return after this. And if you're playing along at home, you've noticed we haven't given away the $30 gift card to Mulligan's. So sometime in the next 45 minutes, you're going to be $30 richer, courtesy of Mulligan's. All on the way in the 6 o'clock hour after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
Sports Center. I'm John Ryder. Mets ace Jacob DeGrom will have an MRI on his right elbow. He's headed back to New York. He was scheduled to start tomorrow at St. Louis. One final, there was day baseball at Wrigley. Cubs looking to get to 500, hosting Arizona.
And Rizzo lines one to left field down the line, slicing. That ball is going to be a fair ball. A run will score. The ball bounces off the sidewall. Rizzo around second. He's thinking three. Here comes the throw. Rizzo will slide. He's safe. It's an RBI triple, Anthony Rizzo.
Pat Hughes on the Cubs Radio Network, and the Cubs do get to 500. They're now 9-9 on the season. They've won four in a row. They stopped the Diamondbacks' four-game winning streak. Chicago takes it 5-1. Kyle Hendricks gets his first win, went seven scoreless, and struck out 11. To the NBA, former Cavs head coach Ty Lue met with the Lakers today about their head coaching vacancy. Reports ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski Lakers also expected to have a second meeting with 76ers assistant Monty Williams. We'll also meet with Heat assistant Juwan Howard about that Lakers head coaching opening. First round of the NBA playoffs continue tonight. Three game threes. It starts with the Raptors and Magic in Orlando. Series is tied at one, and it's getting underway shortly on ESPN TV and the ESPN app. Also tonight, the Pacers host the Celtics. Boston up two games to none. This game on ABC and here on ESPN Radio. Coverage starts at 8 Eastern. Then wrapping up tonight's NBA playoff slate, Blazers face the Thunder in Oklahoma City, 9:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN TV, the ESPN app. Portland up two games to none in the series.
The NBA playoffs on ESPN Radio. Game 3 of the Celtics and Pacers. Coverage begins tonight at 8 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ABC. Presented by Indeed.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with The Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-375-7751. That's 1-800-375-7751.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
If your vehicle isn't stopping like it used to or makes squealing noises when you brake, shop the Spring Brake Deal Savings Event at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, buy a set of Brake Best Select pads and a pair of rotors and get a $20 O'Reilly gift card by mail. Don't miss the Spring Brake Deals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Find it at Firestone Complete Auto Care.
On Fridays, the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is presented by Two Rivers Bank and Trust, with locations in Iowa City and Coralville. Two Rivers Bank and Trust, my neighborhood, my bank. You can learn more online at tworivers.bank. Member FDIC. Welcome in. It is the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. The Big Hour, presented by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. A thank you to Steve Anderson and his staff on Highway 1 West in Iowa City. Steve and I were conversing about Sports Illustrated posters yesterday on Twitter. Rob probably remembers those. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com with us. Sports Illustrated used to sell posters of various athletes.
Didn't they made those? They made those into a baseball card set, too, I think, from Fleer.
Steve,
that were autographed.
Steve revealed that he had a Bjorn Borg poster on his wall as a young man. I don't ask any questions, especially of well-respected sponsors on the program. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com with us. This is for the final time, right? This is it. Kaput. Done.
Last big hour of the season.
Maybe I can say whatever I want about Steve Anderson.
So the spring game is tonight? Oh, never mind. The spring game going to be tonight?
It's next Friday.
It's next Friday.
Is the open practice where they allow us and the Hawkeye player families in to watch. So we'll see
a lot of people pretending to be a long lost distant relative of Nate Stanley's or something
to get in and watch, like stretching and Nate Stanley handing off.
First off, before we get too far down the road, thoughts and prayers on Jacob DeGrom's elbow.
The NFL draft's coming this week, so I have that to look forward to. And isn't the draft lottery this coming week as well? Or coming up soon?
Soon, I believe.
I think that's coming up here within the next few weeks, so the Knicks hopefully will overcome the James Dolan Maloika and win that lottery.
If they get Zion, everything will all be all right.
Zion, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie.
And Kyrie.
There you go.
Ask Stephen A. Smith. He's all over it.
He is definitely your source, KGYM Eastern Iowa's source for New York Knicks coverage between noon and 2 every day with the Stephen A. Smith Show. Let's start, Rob. It's been a while since you've been here in the studio with us, or it's been a while since I've been here when you've been here. It just has been kind of a hectic last several weeks. I want to start with basketball because I think this is a really intriguing development this week that kind of came out of left field, but after 9 years, you get lulled into a sense of, nothing's changing this offseason. But Andrew Francis gets an opportunity that he couldn't say no to join the staff at Cal, advance his career a little bit, get out from under the auspices of being the number 3 assistant, even though he's a veteran assistant coach at Iowa. This gives Fran McCaffrey an opportunity to bring in a new voice, an outside voice to his staff. What do you think he should do here? What do you think benefits Iowa here?
Yeah, it's like you were saying, it's the first time in his 9 years that we've gone through this, so we really have no reference point to what he might be looking for. I think the two main ideas, at least from the outside of the program, are, hey, hire a defensive coach now. And then 2, hire a former Hawkeye. Those are your 2, at least from a fan's perspective, what people are looking at. And I'm not sure Fran goes in either one of those directions. It could be Billy Taylor. It could be Courtney Eldridge, who is the video coordinator now. If Fran has shown us anything, he's very much, he leans towards guys he knows, guys that fit.
He's sort of Trumpian in that aspect where he wants somebody in his circle, and I can't blame a guy for that, especially in that job, but he, and this is no offense intended here, he doesn't really care what the fans think.
Not at all.
Fran is going to do what Fran wants to do. I did enjoy and we discussed this on the program earlier this week, that Iowa has a glaring need for somebody to come in and fix the defense, and the opportunity presents itself, and fans immediately just fixate on wanting a former Iowa player. Like, here's your opportunity to fix what's broken, and everybody's just like, nah, give me Dean Oliver. Matt Gaetans, bring Jeff Horner back. Iowa's not the only fan base that thinks that way, but I'd be hard-pressed to look at guys who fit both criteria and find anybody that checks both boxes.
Yeah, I don't know what type of, I guess, area of expertise Dean Oliver would have other than that he played point guard. So I would think he would be more versed at coaching guards. And that's the aspect of this as well. Andrew Francis was the post coach. But if you also look at it the other way, you know, how many years of experience do the 3 remaining guys have, from Fran to Sherm Dillard to Kirk Sparaw? Those guys have been around long enough where they should be able to teach any aspect of the game of basketball. And Fran needs to hire a defensive coach, like, who's the guy at Michigan? Is it Yakalich?
Yes, Luke Yakalich.
Beeline was accepting of that, and Beeline wanted that, and Beeline meshed his offense with Yaklich's defense. I'm not so sure Fran would be as open to changing his system as John Beeline was.
Well, I would be open to looking at the results that John Beeline has gotten.
John Beeline has the players that can play defense. Iowa has played good defense under Fran. When you had Utah, Woodbury, I remember their defense ranked, I think it was in the 30s in 2015, by Ken Palm. So I think they can teach defense. You have to get players that can play defense too. So there are just so many different layers to this on which way Fran could or should go. But I can guarantee you, whoever he hires will appease and excite some of the fans and annoy the heck out of others.
So, kind of reading between the lines, a lot of people are sitting here saying, okay, this is a perfect time for Fran to sit back and say, okay, here are the strengths, here are the weaknesses of this program. Let's address something that we need. Let's bring in a fresh voice and give us a fresh perspective on something that we need. Are you saying that might not necessarily be the case as far as looking at the next next assistant coach?
I think with as strong as Fran's personality is, like when he recruits, there are a lot of programs that will have, you know, one or two assistants that are really good recruiters that
right.
go out and do a lot of the legwork and do a lot of the work in bringing guys into the program. Fran is that guy a lot of times out front, which is, I think, very important for Fran. If you look at the Iowa basketball program, not many off-court issues whatsoever, especially compared to what's going on.
I was
going
to say, were you referring to the rogue assistants at some programs right. around the country that are great recruiters?
And he gets, basically, for lack of a better term, really good kids that put up with or can handle his personality, which is getting in your face. So to me, it's all about fit. Can he get hire an assistant that fits here? For me, the number one priority isn't an ex-Hawkeye, and it's not necessarily a defensive coach, because I'm of the belief that Fran is less willing than a guy like John Beilein to change his system to give up that much control for a defensive coach. They need to get somebody in here that can recruit. To me, that is the number one. And I know that's just kind of a broad-based description of what I'm looking for, but I think you've got, how old is Spraw?
Without being disrespectful here, Kirk Spraw and Sherman Dillard are close older. To retirement age.
62.
They're older
these
gentlemen.
These are jobs that are most likely going to be their final stops before retirement.
They need a younger...
I love you, Sherm. Sorry, Kirk, if you're listening.
They need a younger...
He's not. Don't worry.
Who can connect.
He might be listening to you. I don't think they listen to me.
Kirk's 62. Sherm is 63. Don't feel bad.
It's a good-looking 62 and 63.
Absolutely.
Hopefully, I'm in that type of shape as Sherm Dillard. Well, I'm not in that shape now, and I'm in my early 50s, so... Yeah, but that is the way I would lean in this situation. But again, I think it's going to be somebody that Fran is comfortable with, whether that is somebody he has or knows or has already been here, like Eldridge or Taylor, or just a guy that he respects and knows that can recruit what he wants to do. You have to be able to get a guy that Fran does what Fran wants to do.
Speaking of recruiting, how does Francis's departure affect that? Because he did have good ties here in the Midwest, and he was viewed as sort of a guy who made connections on the recruiting trail for Iowa.
It's an interesting move. Before we hit on that, it's an interesting move for Francis. I've had a few people ask me, is he the number one assistant at Cal? He isn't, really. I mean, if you look at Trent Johnson, he's been a head coach at Stanford.
And
you look at Chris
TCU recently, yes.
Chris Harriman, he was, you know, associate head coach at New Mexico. A lot of these guys have more experience, and then I think they kept, was it Wyking Jones, the guy that they kept from the previous staff?
Kept him?
I think so, because Trent Johnson's coming in as a... Marty Wilson, I think.
I was going to say, because Wyking Jones was the head coach.
Right.
It
was Marty Wilson. So I'll be interesting to see. It's almost like Andrew moved on saying, I'm not going to move up here, so I need to move so I can hopefully move up somewhere else. Because to me, it was a lateral move. And if anything, Cal's a train wreck. And the Pac-10 is not very good. So you can almost view that as a downward move for Andrew Francis.
The way I viewed it is he's been an East Coast guy. That's where he's from. Then he spent a decade in the Midwest, and now he's going to the West Coast. This is essentially him putting down roots all across the United States and maybe trying to expand his horizons. didn't make a ton of sense to me, but at the same time, if you've been the number three guy for 9 years,
yes,
maybe he wanted a new challenge.
And he's gone for it.
And this is going to be a challenge.
Head coaching positions. I think he's gone for the Siena spot head coaching position
and
twice.
Didn't get a whole lot of interest.
So maybe he just feels like he needs to expand his resume, which I can respect. And he's done a good job at Iowa, getting back to the recruiting angle. He was a good recruiter, and he was in with a lot of highly ranked kids, including DJ Carton. The problem was Iowa didn't close on many of those kids. If you look at which players the current assistants, if you were ranking the players that the current assistants were able to help land, because again, Fran was the lead recruiter for Woodbury and Gazelle, and Utoff kind of just showed up here because he hated Bo Ryan. But Sherm got Garza, Cook, Aaron White. There's somebody else I was thinking of too. But a lot of those main guys were, that was Sherman Dillard who got those guys, not Andrew Francis. And I don't know if that was the part of the puzzle that just didn't come together where Iowa couldn't close on some of those top guys that Andrew Francis was involved with. Because as we said, you look at this roster now, there was a lot of turnover for all those guys in that 14 and 15 class, you know, the Andrew Flemings and, you know, Brandon Huttons and all those guys that Iowa missed on or didn't work out here. Those were recruiting misses. And that was, I think there was a hole there that hopefully they can fill now.
And I've said this to kind of put this in perspective. 9 years and the bench hadn't changed. How rare is that in college basketball? How rare is that in college sports where you see an entire bench of assistant coaches, of three assistant coaches, not change? It was bound to happen, and that's a pretty ridiculous run of continuity in this day and age.
And no, Francis wants to move up. I mean, that's obvious.
Right.
He's interviewed for head coaching positions and hasn't gotten them, and he must have felt, as you were saying, Todd, it's time to move to hopefully continue to move up. I'm not moving up from here.
Rob Howe with us of HawkeyeNation.com, the Big Hour brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. We will get to Hawkeye football coming up in just a little bit. One of the callers or texters to the gym class earlier this week floated the idea of going out and getting somebody off the AAU circuit. What do you think about that move? I'm trying to address the interests of our listenership, to answer their questions.
If you're familiar with Xavier Foster, one of the top 2020 recruits from Oskaloosa, I've had a few people suggest hire his dad, his AAU coach, his high school coach, whatever it takes to. He's a top 30 or 40 kid, I think, in the country and has offers from the likes of Kansas and Iowa State and Iowa and a lot of other schools. But I think that maybe gets you something short term, but I'm not sure that's the route I would go in this situation.
What about Margaret? You could add her to the staff.
Yeah,
that would turn college basketball upside down.
He could hire a female. There are a lot of people that are calling for that. Is it Becky Hammons? I think she was on Pop staff
Spurs,
at San Antonio.
Heads would bat flip guy would he would not handle that very well. I did see somebody only semi jokingly suggest Jan Jensen join the men's staff. That would be
she's a good recruiter and a good post.
I was going to say she works with the posts too.
She's developed a heck of a lot of good post players.
If you've got a question for Rob, I should mention you can use the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line to reach out to us, 319-366-1600. Any idea on what the final roster for the basketball team will look like, given the fact that there are some openings now?
So far, two. With Cook and Daly transferring to Akron and Cook going to the pros, whether that be stateside or overseas. I did ask Fran about that. They are looking for you know, through all the avenues from grad transfer to regular transfer to high school senior. It's also something they could roll one or two of those scholarships over because, as we've all talked about, there's still a pretty deep roster here, and you don't want to get too much of a logjam. I almost think that getting a regular transfer gives you experience next year, you know, when Bohannon, Kreener, and that group leaves, Moss, to have somebody to step in maybe with a little bit more experience in that 2020-21 class. So I think he's pounding the pavement. I don't think he's surprised at all by Tyler Cook or Maishi Daly leaving. And I think right now the number one priority is not getting is not hiring the new assistant. This is a really big recruiting time. Fran, the next week or so, is going to be doing a lot of in-home visits with recruits. That's the big thing right now.
Yeah, that is the other interesting thing about the timing here, because I can't imagine that Fran's going to want to drag his feet here. Is it the 26th, the 28th? When is the big, when does the window open?
It's this next week. It's the week after Easter Sunday, right? Yeah, so the following week, there'll be a he'll go and conduct in-home visits with recruits that they're interested in. And as I was saying earlier, Fran is really hands-on when it comes to recruiting. So I don't think he'll be in, he's panicking saying, oh, I need another assistant to get out there on the road. I don't know if it's like football when Iowa lost some assistants a few years back and they put Kelvin Bell on the road and LeVar Woods, they did that at one time where you can, it's like, so if he wanted to send Courtney Eldridge out on the road, he could do that because, you know, just as a stopgap until they hire another full-time assistant.
Somewhere Rick Heller is listening to this thinking, it must be nice to have more than two assistants. See, if you missed it earlier today, the Division I Council shooting down the paid third assistant for baseball and softball. Iowa baseball taking on Nebraska this weekend in a pretty key Big Ten showdown. It is 6:23. We need to take a quick timeout. When we come back, Kyle's going to get you a big board update, and then we'll shift focus with Rob to Hawkeye football. Lots of fruit on that particular tree this week as spring practice draws to a close within the week. Back with more of the Todd Brolkamp Show with Alex Kuhn after this.
The Adam Schefter Podcast.
Huge cost to absorb to get rid of a great player like Antonio Brown in a franchise that once was set up with the Killer Bees. He's down to one Killer Bee, and he's going to need the support of James Conner and Juju Smith-Schuster now to keep the Steelers afloat in the AFC North, where I actually think the Cleveland Browns might be the favorite to win that division.
The Adam Schefter Podcast. Listen or subscribe on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life. So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
Attend Junior Achievements Taste of Achievement, April 26th at the Veterans Memorial Building in Cedar Rapids. Enjoy fine wines, specialty beers and hors d'oeuvres, a silent and live auction, music, and more. Sip, savor, and support life-changing education programs for children.
Details at kgymradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
Fairfax State Savings Bank has been serving your community for 95 years. We're the bank here, or wherever you need us to be, harvesting that first ear of corn with 500 acres to go. Deciding on the perfect vacation spot. From your business to our office to the comfort of your home after a busy day. Explore your options at Fairfax State Savings Bank. Get started with your personal or business lending today at thebankhere.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Couples strolling arm in arm would stop to see the display, pointing at the sparkling beauties inside, and little ones would lean in eagerly to see the wonders within. As the decades have passed, the colors behind the glass have changed from gold to silver to platinum and back again, moving with the years, reflecting current trends and classic style. The windows at Hertin & Stalker Jewelers have always been a centerpiece in downtown Iowa City, something to look forward to and share. And now, those windows are even bigger and more wondrous. The Dickens family will create even more beautiful displays with diamonds, colored stones, earrings, necklaces, bracelets, and rings. So come see what's sparkling in those fancy new windows at Hertin & Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Texting while driving is a very dangerous form of distracted driving. Drivers who use handheld devices while driving are 4 times as likely to get into crashes that can injure themselves or others. Drivers of all ages simply don't realize the dangers that are posed when they take their eyes and minds off the road. Everyone needs to do their part. Help save lives. Don't text and drive. This message is brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, and your local law enforcement.
This is an ad about Twins tickets. This is an ad about Twins tickets.
This is an ad about Twins tickets.
Here's where we talk about Twins tickets.
Get Twins season tickets today. With flexible plans, there's a package to fit your budget and schedule. Get the best seats at the best prices, plus 10% off food and drinks and other exclusive benefits.
That was an ad about Twins tickets. That was an ad about Twins tickets. That was an ad about Twins tickets. Here's some music.
Buy tickets at twinsbaseball.com.
The Celtics take games 1 and 2 at the Garden. Now the series shifts to Indianapolis, where the Pacers face a critical game 3.
Tonight, starting at 7 o'clock on 1600 AM and 106.3 FM, KGYM.
Welcome back into the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented on Fridays by Two Rivers Bank and Trust. You are inside the Big Hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City. Big thank you to Steve Anderson and his crew for being on board with us for the final time during the football and basketball season as we wind down the spring football coverage. We'll certainly continue talking Hawkeye football over the course of the next week. And join us next week because we're going to have a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. We'll be giving those away all week next week. La Cantina with 3 locations across the corridor. Kyle's going to bring you a big board update right now. Big board updates on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented by Alexander Lumber. You can find them at their temporary location at 2802 Independence Drive in Iowa City. Here's Kyle with more.
The Iowa baseball team's beginning a 3-game series hosting 30th-ranked Big Ten leading Nebraska this evening. The Hawkeyes currently sit 4th in the conference standings, but have won 3 consecutive Big Ten series, so they could really help themselves tonight. They're underway, have been for about 20 minutes now, and that game is scoreless in the second. Games 2 and 3 will be at 2 o'clock and 1 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday. Something to keep in mind is that tomorrow's game is Hawkeye Football Day, featuring pregame autographs and Nate Stanley throwing out the first pitch. And Iowa State receivers entered the transfer portal, redshirt sophomore Josh Johnson. He caught only 1 pass as a redshirt freshman last year and is a member of a very crowded and competitive receiver room in Ames. The 5'11 Arkansas native once also held offers from Notre Dame, Oklahoma State, and Minnesota, among others. Around this time last year, it was the Iowa defensive staff traveling to observe and meet with Kirby Smart and Mel Tucker at Georgia. And today, Alex Halstead reported the Cyclone staff has been doing some of that as well. Matt Campbell told him he recently traveled to Clemson, and some Clemson coaches, including defensive coordinator Brent Venables, traveled to Ames. He also said several other staffers have gone to different places. With less than a week to the draft, NFL.com's Chad Reuter posted a 7-round mock today. He projects T.J. Hockenson 10th to the Broncos, Noah Fant 30th to the Packers, Amani Hooker in the 2nd round to the Vikings, Hakeem Butler and Anthony Nelson in the 3rd round of the Ravens, and David Montgomery in the 4th to the Falcons. The Twins were postponed tonight, so we don't have any of that, but we will have the doubleheader tomorrow on the North Gym. And tonight after the show, we do have the Celtics trying to go up 3-0 on the Pacers. Tip-off is set for 7:30 on the South and Main Gyms.
It's a beautiful night for a Colonels baseball game as they take on the Snappers at Veterans Memorial Stadium, home through tomorrow. I am remiss, Rob. I need to wish you and Catherine, you got a happy wedding anniversary coming up, right? Is it past or it's soon?
It's Easter this year.
Okay, it falls on Easter.
Which means that we'll once again be catering to our children with Easter baskets, and that's part of being a parent.
There's nothing wrong with that. For those that don't know, many, many moons ago, on my birthday, I was stuck at Duane Banks Field before it was Duane Banks Field, back when it was still Iowa Field, right? Is that what they what they called the baseball stadium before they named it after Duane Banks? On April 18th, and I remember it was Western Illinois was the opponent, and this was one of those 5.5-hour slog of a game, the Scott Broghammer era. And you were anxious because you had your future in-laws in town. and you wanted to get the hell out of there, and I had my 21st birthday that day, I wanted to get to One Eye Jake's in downtown Iowa City, and we were both stuck there for about 5 hours. For
pitchers just bouncing the ball up there.
For a single game. So I'm forever, every year around my birthday, I always think, oh, hey, Rob's got a wedding anniversary coming up. Let's talk football for a second. As we mentioned, things are winding down for the Hawkeyes next week, but there's no open practice to really get into. Ken O'Keefe and Kelton Copeland met with the media earlier this week, and Kelton Copeland's got a little Fran McCaffrey to him. He built up a couple of those wide receivers to the point where I was thinking, this isn't going to end well.
No, now
unless they go out and perform and then it ends well, but now you've got some fans out there with some major expectations for these guys.
As a side note, I'm looking forward to watching. Hopefully Nate Stanley gets out. He threw like 90 in high school. Hopefully he gets out tomorrow and just fires one in
there. Hopefully he throws a strike.
There have been rumors that he's going to try to bring the heat.
Hope they have the gun on him.
Traditional first pitches aren't usually fastballs, but he could be trying to show off.
Now, as long as it's not as bad as 50 cents.
Well, and as long as he gets out of there without any elbow issues like Jake DeGrom.
That would be good.
Try explaining that one to Hawkeye Nation. Nate Stanley goes down with a UCL tear.
His elbow's barking. Sorry, guys.
Let's stay here with the receivers before we move on to quarterbacks.
You're
I'm getting
about
ahead
the
of
Nico
myself.
Reganey,
Nico
Tracy
Reganey,
train
Tyrone Tracy,
the
Sweet Feet. Yeah, the Sweet Feet
the
Express.
Sweet feet.
Purchase your tickets before boarding. The conductor will not be selling tickets once on board.
This is one thing. Now, we've been around Kelton for, I think this is his 2 years, right?
He's yoked.
Off-season.
He's really yoked.
Jacked.
I do not want to give the impression that I'm making fun of him because he looks like he could pop my head off just by squeezing my neck.
Yeah, he is. He's well put together. He has a tendency to, and I think it's using the media and fans, not using them, you know, in a negative way, but to deliver his message. And since he's arrived, he's been like this with the younger receivers, very overly complimentary, trying to build them up. At least this is my take on it. Because he did the same thing with Brandon Smith and Amir Smith-Marset. And now with those guys, he's maybe motivating by saying he's not happy with how they're performing. I think there's some gamesmanship going on here. And that's not to take Nico Reganey and Tyrone Tracy, I think, are going to be good receivers. But as I put on the Hawkeye Nation message board and got made fun of, it's not going to be Steve Largent and Lynn Swann. And everybody was like, how old are you? With those references, but
at least they didn't go the political route with Steve Largent.
Yes, true. I probably opened myself up there for some backlash, but I think those guys are probably from where they came from to what they were able to put together this spring. It makes sense that they've made the most strides. They have the most strides to make. And I think we learned last spring with Smith-Marset, when Kirk got on him for phone use, and then Copeland got on top of that to reiterate what the head coach was saying. I think I gather that Smith-Marset is a guy that needs somebody in his ear a lot to make sure that he's, and he's not, he's just, he's not a bad kid. He's not, you know, somebody that who doesn't care. He just needs to be reminded that you need to keep pushing forward. And I think that's kind of what I took out of the other
day. Okay, so you're saying don't get too high with the Nico Reganey and Tyrone Tracy compliments, and don't get too low with the comments about Amir Smith-Marset being inconsistent.
That's the way I took it. I could be totally off base here, but just from the experience and the reference that we have with Kelton Copeland, I'm starting to sense that pattern, that he's a guy, he's a coach that's going to motivate his young players by building their confidence up, and then motivate his older players by pushing them and saying he's not seeing enough. And I fully expect, if I was there's sports gambling in the state now. If I was putting down money on who would lead the Hawkeyes in receptions this
no
year.
No prop bets. No
so
prop
bets.
We can't do this. And for entertainment purposes not, only, go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, not on in-state college athletes.
If I could, or if I was in Las Vegas, it would be Brandon Smith. I think we saw some signs of him last year really starting to take the next step. I think he's in line for a pretty nice year, especially with the inexperience at tight end.
I asked him about that very thing because Noah Fant, TJ Hockenson were two guys where Nate Stanley, one if those guys were covered one-on-one, he had trust that they were going to go up and make a play, give him a jump ball, he'd give him a back shoulder pass, he'd look their direction. The other was Brandon Smith, and that sort of, I'm not going to say came out of nowhere, but I feel like that catch in the Iowa State game sort of started this trust between the two, and he agreed. He said that about early on in that, or late in that non-conference schedule, he started to connect with Nate Stanley. You just wonder, can somebody else step up and be that guy to where they get a mismatch, they get out on an island, Nate Stanley isn't going to hesitate to throw to them, and that's why I think there's a lot of question marks as to what does this offense look like without Noah Fant and TJ Hockenson.
Yeah, those are huge. I mean, we're talking about the possibility of history being
right.
made here with two tight ends from the same school going in the first round, or at least very high draft picks, and probably guys that, you know, barring injury, are going to have a nice NFL. I talked to Brandon Smith about this the other day and wrote this in my receivers piece. I asked him because, you know, he was thrown to the Wolves. He and Smith Marsette were thrown to the Wolves 2 years ago because Iowa didn't have anybody else at receiver. They had to play. But now we're going into year three of Stanley with those two wide receivers constantly getting reps from, you know, spring ball to summer 7-on-7s to camp to practice. And Brandon Smith told me the other day, he got up to the line of scrimmage in practice, noticed the coverage, looked over at Stanley, who looked at him. They were on the same page. There didn't need to be any. And that's sometimes I think we take that for granted, that guys are just going to be on the same page. Passing game is so rhythmic, and you have to be so much in sync that I think that's going to benefit Iowa. And even, you know, you look at a guy like Nico Reganey, this is his second spring here because he was a midseason enrollee. So I think Stanley's relationship and comfort with this group of receivers will help him a lot. He's just, we're going to have to see what happens at tight end with Sean Beyer and Nate Weeding and Drew Cook. And, you know, if those guys can pick up at least some of the slack left by Fant and Hockenson's exit.
One last question before we take our final break of the night. And that's, how are things looking behind Nate Stanley on the depth chart? I know you've got a piece at HawkeyeNation.com about Peyton Manziel and how the game is sort of falling into place for him, maybe coming into a little clearer focus at the college level now that he's got another year under his belt.
I think one of the things, Todd, that benefited Nate Stanley is he came from a pro-style offense in high school and hit the ground running when he got to Iowa. Manziel, Spencer Petras, Alex Padilla, who's a true freshman who showed up in January, those are guys that moved from a spread offense in high school to Iowa's pro style. And there's, I mean, Peyton was talking the other day about just his senior year, he took three snaps under center and they were all quarterback sneaks. So everything else was out of the gun. So he got here and he had to learn how to take snaps from, it's just a basic thing like that, taking snaps from under center. So he says he's got the playbook down. Things are slowing down. I think I would imagine the same thing's happening for Petras at some level. He's been here now a year. But this is a huge time for these guys. They're auditioning to be Nate Stanley's replacement. And we've seen this, and I wrote about this today. You look at Cody Sokol. You look at Nick Szymanek. You look at Jake Rudock. You look at Ryan Boyle. You look at Tyler Wiggers. What do they have in common? They were guys that got beat out for the job and left. So there's a good chance, I'm not saying it will happen, but the loser of this competition may not see the end of his high school or college career, at Iowa.
Good stuff, Rob. We will take a final timeout. We come back the final segment. We've got some draft discussion to get into, and I want to get your thoughts on what Peter King had to say about Kirk Ferentz earlier this week. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com with us when we return after this.
The name of the business is called Archery Veterans Barbecue and Catering Service. I grew up watching my mom in the kitchen as well as my grandfather. I absolutely loved to cook. I previously went to one bank and was told no. Hearing that word no, it's gut-wrenching sometimes. Then I walked into the Paco. The first thing they did was said, hey, look, let's open you a checking account. Where do you want to grow financially? First thing that I did state was, I want to own my own business. John wanted to know how serious I was. Give me your short-term and long-term goals. Once I did that, I came back to him with a game plan, and from that aspect, it just blossomed. Thank you for believing in me, not only as an individual, as a father, as a veteran, and as a human being.
Learn more about our impact at tupaco.com/impactful. Federally insured by NCUA Equal Housing Opportunity.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-494-6139. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-494-6139.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with Castrol Edge Full Synthetic Motor Oil. Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, get 5 quarts and a Wix filter for $33.99. Plus get a $15 gift card and 150 O-Rewards points. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-375-7751. That's 1-800-375-7751.
When you join the Fuel Rewards program at Shell, you'll never pay full price for gas again.
Even if my car horn sounds like this?
Sure.
Even if I always blast techno in my car?
Yeah.
Even if I drive for miles with the turn signal on?
Of course, even then. It's time to save 5 cents per gallon or more on every fill, every day with instant gold status. Visit FuelRewards.com to join now and save today.
Active gold status required. See FuelRewards.com/gold for details. At participating Shell stations only. Limit 20 gallons.
Welcome back for the final time this week on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. We have for you right now a special gift, a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. If you're caller number 6 to 319-366-1600, you're going to be able to join us next Thursday for the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. $30 to Mulligan's is yours. If you are caller number 6 right now to 366-1600, Rob Howe with us of HawkeyeNation.com for about another 10 minutes. It is a Friday. That means we're being presented by Two Rivers Bank and Trust. My neighborhood, my bank, tworivers.bank, Two Rivers Bank and Trust member FDIC. The big hour continues. Before we get into the draft, since this is the last time we're going to chat with you prior to next Thursday, I'm sure you caught Peter King's comments about Kirk Ferentz on the Dan Patrick Show earlier this week. They've made their way around Hawkeye Twitter. What'd you think of that? Can Kirk Ferentz snap his fingers and get an NFL job right now if he wanted?
That's so hard to say.
It was so pointed and direct and out there. I thought, wow.
I didn't know if he meant head coaching job.
Yeah,
or,
I mean, some type of player personnel.
That's
guy,
what I was. That's
player
more what I was thinking.
Something
yeah.
like that. But then you look at some of the guys that are head coaches in the league, you know, and with all due respect to it being a copycat league, Cliff Kingsbury didn't get it done at Texas Tech and then gets hired, but you know, so it's hard to say. But I think we all know, we all are at that, we all go to the football complex enough, and you just walk through there any day of the week, and there's NFL player personnel people coming through that facility. The NFL, you know, Coach Doyle talked about this last Friday about the players that come back and work out at Iowa that are NFL players. I mean, there's just a ton of respect, I think, from the league in regards to the Iowa program. So I don't doubt that Kirk could get a job somewhere in the NFL. I'm not sure what that would be.
I just sort of took away from it that this is a guy who, or this is a program where the NFL is just, they give that program first dibs a lot of time. That's the place where they're going to visit first. That's the place where you see guys when you wonder, how'd this guy get drafted? Why, if he was at another program, would he get the same type of looks? And a lot of times the answer is no, because you get through 4 years at Iowa. You got through 4 years of Chris Doyle. You played for 4 years in the Big Ten under that type of system. The learning curve for you to the next level is so much less than a lot of other programs around the country. So you see guys that don't have prototypical NFL bodies or skill sets or numbers or tangibles, not only getting to the NFL, but succeeding in the NFL. And as opposed to a lot of other programs, they don't have that.
Congratulations going out to Lizzie in Cedar Rapids, taking home the $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub. Again, we'll be back there on Thursday for the KGYM road trip. Now I have the boys are back in town in my head. I'm thinking of Phil Lynott. 319-366-1600. The draft. You mentioned it. You referenced it, Rob. This could be the verge of history next Thursday night. TJ Hockenson and Noah Fant. What do you think the bottom is for these two? What's the latest the second one goes off the board?
It's just the first round on Thursday, right?
Yes.
And they're both going to be in the green room. So let's hope, because Josh Jackson sat in there last year and did not hear.
Yeah,
his
but he
name
found
called
a good home he in
did,
Green Bay.
He did find a good home.
And it worked out well for me. I was happy about that. There are some people saying that this is the best, and again, Peter King's comments on the same program, that this is the best possible draft for a tight end like TJ Hockenson to come out in, because there are so many teams at the top of the draft who need a tight end that one of them is not going to be able to afford passing on him. And that's going to leave a very nice booby prize for, again, maybe the Green Bay Packers, a team that could use a tight end. And unfortunately, there are several others out there that could either use their current spot or trade up to get a Noah Fant. Two tight ends, first round. Teammates. Never happened before. It's going to happen next Thursday,
right?
I'm
a homer, but I think they both go. They're both two freakish athletes with, as Alex was referencing earlier, you can watch their film at Iowa and project they look on your team. It's not, there's no spread off. I mean, you see a pro-style offense, you see these guys perform. I was on a podcast with the New York Giants, I think last week, their official site, website does a podcast. And the one thing that was interesting to me, they were gushing over Hockenson, and I get that, and I'm a big TJ fan, but they wondered, and I wondered if this was out there, they wondered about Fant's makeup after what happened this past week or
they
past
will,
year
they
with
will
his
ding
brother.
They will you for anything.
That's why when that was going on with his brother,
Happy
I was...
Happy Easter at the Fant household, but if that happens, could be a fun one next weekend.
Yeah, and that just, there was no good that was going to come out of what his brother did. And I just hope that doesn't, I hope that doesn't override what he is as a prospect.
Yeah, I would think that if it really ran afoul, going back to what Peter King said about taking Kirk Ferentz's word for something, if it really ran afoul of Kirk Ferentz, Noah Fant would be training and working out elsewhere. He wouldn't be around the program in Iowa City. So the fact that he's still there and getting ready for the draft tells me that he hasn't been completely walled off, as we've seen a limited number of former Hawkeyes be during the Kirk Ferentz era.
I also think the fact that his brother didn't say anything that was insider information, so it wasn't like something was happening behind the scenes.
Right.
It gets to his brother. He tweets it out there. He said things. Sure, you can wonder if it was good or not. It probably, no good can come from it. but it was things that you could see that were visible that anybody watching the game could see. And I just don't think it's going to have much of a bearing on where he gets drafted. I think both of those guys are going to be in the first round. I talked about so many of these guys that get chances who don't have the size, the speed, the skill set. I'm looking at those two and Anthony Nelson and Amani Hooker and saying, those guys all have that. They have those traits. And because of that, I don't think that any of those guys get out of the second day.
And I wonder, because you watch George Kittle fall, you watch Desmond King fall, and we talked about Iowa's reputation. It's come to a point where you're like, well, do we really want to pass on this guy? He looks the part.
Right.
We know Iowa's producing talented NFL players. Let's not miss. Let's not be the team that lets George Kittle go to the fourth round or Desmond King go to the fifth round and then watch them play in the Pro Bowl for somebody else.
Well, it's weird because George Kittle was a guy who wasn't healthy a lot of the time in Iowa City. He wasn't on the field. His numbers weren't great.
He tested well.
And he was a complete project, turned into one of the best tight ends in the league. I think people are looking at TJ Hockenson and saying, okay, he's way more polished than George Kittle ever was. He's putting up way better stats. He probably is a better blocker at this point in his development. George Kittle is one of the top three blocking tight ends in the league. Yeah, it seems like a pretty easy comparison, easy first round pick to make.
We are not scheduled to bring you another Alexander Big Board update throughout the program tonight, but we will take a peek in at Duane Banks Field. Right now they're through 2.5, and Iowa and Nebraska currently scoreless. Again, a big weekend series for Rick Heller and the Hawkeyes, so get out there if you're a baseball fan. Beautiful night for baseball in Iowa City. Same here in Cedar Rapids. Colonels are underway, taking on the Beloit Snappers. They'll finish up that series tomorrow. And speaking of finishing up things, we've got about a minute and a half left here. Rob has already indicated that he is ceding his wedding anniversary to Easter and the kids this weekend. Thomas is getting a big Easter basket from his mom and dad this weekend as well.
Is he a Easter Bunny Santa Claus type where you can bring him to them, sit on the lap type
thing?
The
kid literally sprints for Mr. Shucks when we go to the Colonels games. My wife thought he was going to be terrified. Nope.
That's good.
He is, his drawback is actual humans, which doesn't bother me.
Yes.
He's more skittish around human beings than he is mascots. That will do it for this has been a great segment, as always, throughout the football and basketball season. A big thank you to Rob for making the trip up from Iowa City, and Steve Anderson and his crew at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, over 15 years in business. We want to thank him for his continued sponsorship of local radio, and in particular this program and this station. Hawkeyes will wrap things up next Thursday. Are we scheduled to hear from anybody? The coordinators.
Tuesday with Brian and Phil, and then Friday the open practice.
One more week of content, and then we're wandering through the desert.
Then you start doing Mount Rushmores, and should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame?
Not to get too
Passover-esque
there. List season and just praying you can make it to the start of another football season. Cassius Winston back at Michigan State. If you haven't heard that, if you missed anything from today's program, you can listen to the podcast or download it now. It'll be available at kgymradio.com. Happy Easter, and we will rejoin you on Monday. Thanks for listening.